gentlemen. It is Tuesday, September 17th, 2024. This is the InfoWars War Room brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com, your election headquarters with 49 days until the presidential election. Now, we do have a bunch of news to get into. We do have a cover-up underway yet again, second assassination attempt cover-up by the same people, the media, for all intents and purposes, Congress, if not for Ron DeSantis putting the pressure on the current investigation at the federal level, I'm not sure they would be giving us anything either. And we shall see if anything else comes out, but the suspect is in federal custody. So there could even be a struggle for the state of Florida to get access, but that will be an ongoing story. So we'll talk about the cover-up, and we've got two great guests to discuss this with today. Dinesh D'Souza will be joining me in the second hour, and then formal federal agent and investigator Myron Gaines will be joining me in the third hour. Now, D'Souza had already made a documentary about the first assassination attempt. That's why he was coming on with me today, was to talk about that with his documentary filmmaking skills and investigation skills. Well, now we've got this second one to talk about as well. So really two great guests to be discussing that with today. Now, this story, and it's not just Springfield, Ohio. And like I said, you're going to find out that there are other middle America towns that are experiencing the same problem. Now stories are coming out about a small town in Pennsylvania where this is going on. But the same thing is happening, and we'll give you multiple examples today, where the liberal media, the hate Trump media, just wants to say, oh, it just doesn't exist. It just doesn't exist. And I've already got things ready for tomorrow. I got videos today. Again, local residents coming out and just basically saying, look, I don't get involved in politics, but I see these stories saying that this isn't going on here with Haitian migrants. It most certainly is, and everybody knows it. So they just keep lying. And then there's some other examples of them just lying. It's just the same lies over and over and over. Now, how important is this Diddy arrest and raid? Now, the details coming out, really, I don't know if they would surprise you. Perhaps it's the exact type of parties that you might expect Diddy was into, but maybe there's something else going on here. He seems awfully desperate to get out of jail. We'll explain that. There is some news with a story out of Lebanon and Syria, how Israel is attacking their enemies in this latest story. We will be talking about that as well. We'll also get into the only pulse that we're getting out of this congressional session right now, which is the continued resolution and whether or not the SAVE Act will be attached to it. So we've got that. You've got Kamala Harris taking another Donald Trump campaign policy. Maybe that should surprise no one. So we'll show you the latest campaign policy being stolen. And then Chris Cuomo on his show is like one step away from endorsing Donald Trump. Chris Cuomo, a Trump supporter now? We'll talk about that on this Constitution Day. That's right. The United States Constitution ratified on September 17th, 1787. So happy Constitution Day as we start this InfoWars War Room transmission.
Supplements are the second fastest growing industry in America over the last few decades. AI's now outstripped it. And that's because people continue to learn how amazing the compounds are that Mother Nature gives us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, not all supplements are created equal. InfoWars MD line, more than 15 products, are all the very best you're going to find at extremely low prices. Take our CBD oil, gummies, and 1,000 milligram tincture. We private label it from a top company. They sell it retail for double what we sell it for. Does that give you an idea how amazing amazing these products are and how low the prices are. Just get InfoWars MD CBD, test it out, see how great it is, and then I know you're going to want the other products like our ashwagandha, like our super green food, like our 95% curcuminoid, turmeric 95. They're all available under the InfoWars MD line at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you for your support. This keeps us on air. Plus, these are game-changing products. Get yours today.
Attempt at Donald Trump's life in that time span? Will there be more than one? Will there be one if he gets elected in between then and Inauguration Day? So much will happen in the next 48 days, and we will be right here to cover it for you on the InfoWars War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. Now, I want to focus my assassination attempt part two coverage with my special guests coming up, Dinesh D'Souza and Myron Gaines. We do have some more on that. But first, let's talk about how the mainstream media wants to lie and trick the American people using cover-ups and fake stories to attack their political opposition, in this case, Donald Trump. Now, we have probably played half a dozen, maybe a dozen accounts from residents of Springfield, Ohio, with independent journalists or just shooting videos themselves saying, yes, the Haitian situation is real. People's pets are disappearing. They're rounding up cats. It's been reported. The geese, the ducks in the park. Everybody kind of knows that's what's going on around here. So, yes, that's going on. And then they just come out and say, nope, it's not happening. You're not seeing this. And then, of course, what is the larger issue? Well, the larger issue is we have a wide open southern border. The larger issue is that the biggest invasion in the history of the world has happened at our southern border thanks to the Biden-Harris invasion. And that's what it is. It's the Biden-Harris invasion. They have made policy so that tens of millions of non-citizens can pour over our border and basically just get a free ride here and even be prioritized over American citizens, including veterans. So this is not up for debate. That is happening. The largest invasion in the history of the world in the last 3+ years under Biden and Harris, and then to zoom in on a symptom is to go to Springfield, Ohio, where they have doubled the population of a small town with Haitian migrants that are from the third world and eat whatever they see roaming around the streets and the parks because that's the world they came from. Well, now it's being reported this is going on in other cities. And the left-wing fake news media is immediately once again attacking and saying none of it is true. Now, Trump has pointed out a situation in Pennsylvania, and my guess is, I mean, Trump probably has more access to this information than anybody. It's really just a matter of can you even facilitate all the incoming? So that's, you know, you could say my job as a talk show host to facilitate all the incoming. Well, Trump's running for president. He's got a lot of other things going on. how much of this incoming can he actually facilitate, but somebody got him the information about a situation in Charleroi, Pennsylvania, where it's the same situation, small town America being overwhelmed with border invaders and basically doubling the population. So again, how many cities is this actually happening in? How many other cities are we going to find out about where this is going on? They can hide them in the big cities, and they don't really hide them. I mean, you can still see them, and people videotape them, and it becomes a big story. But in these huge population-dense areas, to cram them all into hotels and these makeshift pop-up migrant centers is one thing. To just relocate them permanently into small-town America is an entirely different phenomenon, but that's what the Democrats are doing. Local GOP lawmaker pushes back on Trump's attacks on Haitians in Charleroi, Pennsylvania. And so here's what they do. And this is from the story. Donald Trump falsely accused Haitian immigrants of eating pets in an Ohio town. Well, it's the locals that are saying that's going on. It's the police body cam video of a woman eating a cat. So they just say, oh, Trump falsely says it. It's not going on. It is going on. And they just keep saying it. Now they're lying about this situation. Last week, Trump incorrectly cited a statistic claiming that the Haitian population of Charleroi, a small borough of 4,000 people in Washington County, grew by more than 2,000%. So this is going to be the next thing, where the liberal media, the hate Trump media, the fake news media is going to say it doesn't exist, it's not happening, and pretty soon you'll probably be hearing from people in Charleroi, Pennsylvania, or maybe some independent journalists will go there and document it, and it'll be 100% confirmed yet again. This is the pattern. Charleroi, Pennsylvania immigrant population is Donald Trump's latest target. Oh, the poor illegal immigrants. Not the fact that Americans are suffering, not the fact we have an open border in a welfare state, not the fact that non-citizens are being placed over veterans for health care, over citizens for home ownership, crammed into schools with children when they're fully in their adult years. This is all going on. So they just say, nope, not happening. No, it's not happening. It is happening. Charleroi's immigrant liaison says national attention has stressed the borough's Haitian population. Oh. Oh. The poor Haitians. So, but isn't that funny? So first they say it doesn't exist. Oh. There's no Haitians in Charleroi, Pennsylvania. Donald Trump is lying. It's not going on. There's no Haitians here. Then it's, oh my gosh, the poor Haitians in Charleroi are stressed. Well, which is it? Are there no Haitians in Charleroi? Or are the poor Haitians stressed in Charleroi? So see the trend here. Okay. Somebody gets it in Trump's ear, says, hey, this is going on in Charleroi, Pennsylvania. Trump makes a comment. Mainstream media picks it up, says it doesn't exist. It's totally fake. Trump just made it up. There are no Haitians in Charleroi. And the Haitians in Charleroi are very upset about this. The Haitians in Charleroi, Pennsylvania are stressed, but also they don't exist. Oh. So I am supposed to be concerned about the Haitian migrants that don't exist. Okay, they do exist. They're lying again in the press. Oh my gosh, the poor Haitians are stressed. What about the Americans? You see, that's the whole idea here from the liberal mindset. That's the whole idea here from the DC liberal elite. The American citizen doesn't matter. Screw the American citizen. The American citizen is trash. The American citizen is scum. The American citizen does not matter. The poor Haitian migrants. you're pointing out that they're in Pennsylvania. We said that they didn't exist, but they do. And you're bringing national attention to them, and they're stressed. What about the little girl on a school bus that a grown man Haitian migrant decides he's going to bully? Should we be concerned about that? Or are you going to tell me that's not what's happening? Because according to a parent in Charleroi, Pennsylvania, that's exactly what's going on. Here it is in clip six.
There's been some assaults with some kids on the bus.
Okay.
One student attacked another American child on the bus.
Yeah, it's like a Haitian kid.
Yeah, yeah, and I guess he was like 20.
So it was a 20-year-old Haitian kid on the bus attacked a 14 or 15-year-old girl.
He told the girl to move, and she said no, and he grabbed her. It, like, really grabbed her.
Yeah.
And, like, wouldn't let her go. Like, they just get on the bus and go to school. You know, it's like the elementary kid just to get a ride to school.
Get those dirty Americans out of the way.
Yeah, and the schools don't do any. The school doesn't do anything about it.
That's what I was going to ask.
The school does nothing about it. People complain all the time about things, and they do nothing.
Yeah, you dirty American on the Haitian school bus. That 14-year-old girl needs to get out of that Haitian grown man's way. He's trying to go to class. So sit down and shut up, you stupid, dirty American scum. You little American girl, don't you know you don't matter? That poor Haitian migrant is more important than you, so get out of his damn way. That's the message here. But by the way, none of this is happening. It doesn't exist. There are no Haitians. What about them being put into jobs like at food factories? You know, these are the jobs that we're talking about because they'll work for minimum wage. The American working man, the American working woman might need more than a minimum wage. They might want to own a house. They're not being stuffed eight into a two-bedroom home like the Haitian migrants are by the U.S. government. Plus, they get their food stamps. Plus, they get their welfare checks. So they can work for minimum wage. So you, the dirty American working at the food factory, the food manufacturing plant in Pennsylvania, you're fired. Get the hell out. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. We're bringing in the Haitian migrants. They work here now. And there's a whole operation making sure this goes on. Here's that in clip seven.
So the staffing company is what takes the migrants. So Haitian compound of all the vans.
Yeah, there's multiple houses right here. This is like their lot for older.
So these are the vans that drive the Haitians to the meat factories.
Yeah, the packing factories.
Packing factories.
Yeah.
Is this right here?
Just another carrier van for the immigrants. To the
meat factories.
To the factories, yep. The three factories.
How many vans do you think are in this town?
At first I thought there was maybe like 24. Then it just kept on growing and growing. They must have poured the merc on these vans.
And another one, too.
Yeah, they must have poured the merc on these vans.
All of these take the Haitians to the meat factories.
Yep.
And this is the other location where
this
the migrants...
is one of the other two that's up in this area. And so... this has been here, but they were all using local labor, and now it's probably over 90%, immigrant that they brought in.
So this goes to Tyson too.
Yeah.
One second, stop right here.
Yeah.
So this meat that the Haitians, or this meat factory that the Haitians are working at, that displaced most of the domestic workers. Shipping to Tyson.
Oh, but it's not going on. Trump is lying. I mean, this story was from earlier this week. The Biden-Harris administration is allocating billions of dollars for Haitian migrants. But hey, look at it from Tyson's perspective. Look at it from the meat manufacturing plant's perspective. It's just basic math. It's just basic economics. If I can hire the Haitians at minimum wage, get rid of the Americans that are making maybe double minimum wage, and all I got to do is find a way to rent some buses to get them to and from work, probably get some government money, probably get some stimulus money to get those buses too, because the Biden administration loves the Haitians so much, so the Biden administration will even pay for the buses to get them to and from work. The Biden administration will stick 10 of them in a two-bedroom apartment. Well, I guess that's the way we're going. Oh, but by the way, if Trump says that that's going on, then it doesn't exist. Of course not. Should we go back to Springfield for another eyewitness account from a local talking about what's going on? I got these for days. Why not just hammer it home? Go ahead. Roll clip 8.
Okay. Springfield, Ohio resident here for 30 years. Okay. Been here my entire life. And since we are trending right now all over social media and people are wanting answers from the residents, I figured I would chime in. Might be an unpopular opinion that people want to hear. Yes, we have a Haitian Creole immigration issue. In the last couple of years, they have dropped off 20 to 30,000 immigrants. The last year to 6 months has been insane. They are dropping them off by the busload. When I say busload, I mean the Greyhound busload full. They are taking them to the gas stations and dropping them off by the busload. But the big thing that I wanted to address, have I personally seen any videos or public reports of the Haitian Creole community stealing cats and dogs and eating them? No. The video that is going viral of the woman who killed and ate the cat is not from Springfield. Do I know for a fact? And have I seen with my own eyes,
just outside of Springfield,
a Haitian Creole immigrant killing ducks? Yes. They are killing ducks at our reservoir and at our parks. They are chopping their heads off and they are cooking them up. They are also gutting animals up at the reservoir and roasting them, goats, pigs, that kind of thing, which, you know, obviously isn't illegal. But the way that they're doing it and leaving things is just ridiculous. They have completely trashed our reservoir. I mean, overloaded with trash. It's really sad. There's 20 to 30 tents out there that they are sleeping in. And again, just completely trashed. The driving is a huge issue. There's probably 4 to 5 plus accidents a day of the Haitian Creole immigrants solely. They are running into any and everything. I mean that. Trash cans, poles, libraries, garages, houses, flipping cars in the middle of the street, going down the street the wrong way, going down one way is the wrong way. It's really bad. Not to mention, yes, they are here and they are getting a lot of money for being here. They are given money for their dependents. They are given money for food, housing, everything that you can think of. Springfield is a small town of 50 to 60,000, and now almost half of that is a Haitian Creole population. We are considered a sanctuary city. So, yes, there is a problem. Politically, I'm not getting into it. But yes, these things are happening. I know that on the Democratic side, it's all these things aren't happening. Yes, these things are happening. And yes, there are issues. But no, I have not physically seen or seen any proof of them killing cats and dogs and eating them. But they are definitely doing it to the birds and the ducks. Hope that answers questions. Oh, I was gonna end the video, but my biggest pet peeve is, like, I'm a big thrifter, and when I'm at the thrift store or any store in general, like, they will literally be on top of you, like, literally on top of you, touching you, touching your stuff. I don't know if I've already
Yeah, the Haitians have the right to your body now, woman.
I don't know. Not a racist thing at all. And I
don't
do feel for them because the things that they're doing were okay in their country and they were picked up and dropped off here. But it
Can you believe this?
The things that you're hearing.
Woman is complaining about a bunch of Haitian men breathing down her neck when she's trying to shop. What a racist bigot.
And because it's not documented with PD.
So you got the Haitian migrants bullying young girls on school buses in central Pennsylvania. Liberal media says it's not happening. You got Haitian migrants eating the local animal life at the park, stalking women when they're shopping. Liberal media, it's not happening. And by the way, stop being mean to the poor Haitians. Well, you said that they didn't exist, and now it's the poor Haitians. They can't help themselves. They lie about everything. They're still lying about the fake kidnapping plot. Whitmer's still lying about it. Liberal Trump-hating hacks like David Frum at The Atlantic still lying about it. They just can't help themselves. David Frum, this guy is a liar. When a group of right-wing extremists were arrested for plotting to kidnap Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer during the COVID pandemic. David, it was a federal entrapment scheme, and the judge dropped the charges. Now, you either don't know that because you're a lazy bum moron, or you do know that and you just want to misrepresent the truth because you're a liar. Take your pick. You suck either way. But Whitmer's along for the ride. She says, I don't think it's funny what they're doing. What, the feds? Entrapping people? There's like 18 of the 21 men involved in the kidnapping plot were feds. By the way, they're still lying about the bomb hoax in Springfield. Here's known moron Anna Navarro on CNN. She couldn't help herself. Clip 10.
With you. It's, you know, I think we should all question the rhetoric. The problem is that Donald Trump, who I think, you know, if you were doing hurricane categories, he's on hurricane category 5, whereas the other side might be a 2.
This is after the assassination
attempt,
number 2.
Donald Trump and J.D. Vance are not questioning their rhetoric. Right now, because of their rhetoric, because of what he said in that debate, there's been 33 bombing threats in Springfield, Ohio, that would not have happened
all confirmed
but for
hoax.
This false conspiracy theory being spread by the vice presidential and presidential Republican candidate. And those Haitians in Springfield, Ohio, and those students and the people that are victims of these threats and everything that's going on there.
Hoax threats probably by Democrats. Again, confirmed a hoax. Governor came out, confirmed it was a hoax. Probably Democrats did it so that they could do that segment. Again, does Anna Navarro not know that because she's a lazy bum, or does she know that and she's lying? By the way, she says Trump and Vance need to control their rhetoric. You sons of bitches have almost gotten Trump killed twice. You've gotten thousands of Trump supporters assaulted, and you're going to talk about rhetoric?
Nitric Boost. Turmeric 95. High quality CBD gummies. It's all available at InfoWarsStore.com via the InfoWars MD line. Now, this is a private label of one of the top supplement makers in the country of high-end quality at reasonable prices. They let us private label their products. That's why you've already heard of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula. Well, we got the 95% curcuminoid from them. This is just their brand of that. And so it is available under Turmeric 95. That's the name. So we're sold out of Bodies, but we have Turmeric 95. That is, again, the same concentrated turmeric. Same thing with Nitric Boost. Nitric Boost came from this company. They even let us use their name. It's now our best seller. We sold out of our version. Their version has a white bottle. It's the exact same thing. You get it at InfoWarsStore.com. So check out InfoWars MD at InfoWarsStore.com.
I have been in a 28-year marathon battle with a globalist. I have come from nowhere to the very heights of politics, not just in America, but in the world. We are engaging the globalists at point-blank range in the information war. But I don't deserve the credit. Yes, I persevered, but the listeners and viewers who support InfoWars are the real reason we've had this success. We're having now the greatest victories in the fight against the New World Order we've ever had. We are now entering the final mile of the marathon. And that's why today it's more important than ever to realize how important you've been in this fight and to continue in the efforts you've been carrying out and to intensify them. God bless you all. I salute you. I thank you. And I beg you to intensify what you're doing now, because we are over the target and history is happening. The fight is my fight. It's your fight. It's our fight. God bless you all.
Turmeric has been used as a medicine for thousands of years to treat digestive disorders, respiratory problems, arthritis, and depression. It has strong anti-cancer, anti-diabetic, antimicrobial, and antioxidant properties, and is one of the most effective anti-inflammatory medications available. The Powerful Bodies formula at InfoWarsStore.com includes 95% curcuminoids, Boswellia serrata extract, organic sage leaf, organic lemon balm leaf, organic thyme leaf, and piperine from black pepper. Bodies is arguably the best turmeric formula available. Get it now. Support free speech and support the InfoWar at InfoWarsStore.com.
Please listen closely, because this is life-changing critical information. The globalists are bombarding us with toxic chemicals, hitting us in the air, the water, the food, the 5G, the poison shots, the shedding, the GMO, all of it. But God's given us compounds through nature that do incredible things in our body. And one of the most important, if not the most important, is vitamin B12. We've got the best organic vitamin B12, Ultra 12, a bestseller finally back in stock after close to a year being sold out. You take it under the tongue for better absorption, and it's 40% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. So go to InfoWarsStore.com right now, get your Ultra 12 and other great products, and for 40% off, some products are even more, and it keeps the show on the air. That is a 360 win. The only way you lose is not taking action. I thank you all for your support, being part of this fight. Now go to InfoWarsStore.com right now.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
The show that digs deeper than the rest. Welcome to the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
By the way, as we cover all this fake news and the lies coming from the Kill Trump media, that's what we should probably call it now. It's no longer the Hate Trump media, it's the Kill Trump media. So here's Hillary Clinton, again, considering all the things coming from the Kill Trump media. Listen to what Hill Dog, Hillary Clinton, she just won't go away. Listen to what she says here in clip 9.
Just as Mueller indicted a lot of Russians were engaged in direct election interference and boosting Trump back in 2016. But I also think there are Americans who are engaged in this kind of propaganda. And whether they should be civilly or even in some cases criminally charged is something that would be a better deterrence.
Suggesting criminally charging people for speech. Now, that's a 30-second clip of this corrupt politician, this bitter old bitch that just won't go away. And let's think about the irony. You want to talk about spreading propaganda? Robert Mueller indicted Russians. Robert Mueller would indict a ham sandwich. Robert Mueller indicted Russians. By the way, and I don't say this facetiously, I ask this question to prove a point. How many people listening to this know the outcome of those indictments? Do you think it was ever covered on MSNBC? Maybe the crew can pull up some of the stories. How many people know what the outcome of those indictments was? the Russians actually showed up for court to defend themselves. And the DOJ backed off. Yeah. Imagine that. You know who didn't show up? Robert Mueller. Huh. Isn't that something? They didn't cover that in the Kill Trump media, though. They didn't cover that in the Kill Trump media. The indicted Russians actually showed up. And the special counsel didn't. And that was the end of that. But what about the Mueller report specifically? It was actually concluded in the Mueller report that said Russians actually boosted Hillary Clinton. That's a fact. From the Mueller report itself. So the indicted Russians showed up for court. Mueller didn't. In Mueller's report, it said they boosted Hillary Clinton. And then Hillary Clinton goes on TV and says, the Mueller report, he indicted Russians. They boosted Donald Trump. But actually, they boosted Hillary Clinton, and Mueller didn't show up for court. So Hillary says that you should be criminally charged for propaganda. So then, Hillary, when are you getting arrested for that 30-second segment? Oh, the irony. Oh, the irony. But see, they just assume that the American people won't know because they don't cover it. And that's exactly what goes on. By the way, speaking of the migrant issue, great job by the crew pulling up all those headlines, by the way. See, we do this thing on the show here called research and full spectrum news coverage. And we actually have a memory and the ability to retain information, unlike 98% of Democrat voters. So Hillary Clinton assumes she can just go on MSNBC. She knows the host is not going to question her, and she knows the audience is not going to have any clue about the actual story. But the irony is she basically just called for criminal charges against herself. So, hands behind your back, Hillary. Now, speaking of migrants, what happened to this old lady walking her dog who gets sucker punched right outside of a migrant shelter in New York City? This is just unbelievable in clip 17.
Footage obtained exclusively by Fox 5. You see her stop as her dog sniffs a wall. A man dressed in black walks past her. Her back is to him. He turns around, heads towards her, punches her so hard she's knocked off her feet. We intentionally pause the video before the punch lands.
When you knock me, I hit my nose here and then I fell down.
In the video, you can see her attacker calmly walking off. Her dog tries to comfort her. Passersby rush to help her. She's laying still on the sidewalk.
You don't look like you were going to get up when I saw that video. But here you are.
Because I didn't want to see the tape. And maybe because I feel so lucky, because he could have had a knife, right?
She suffered a concussion and doesn't remember much of the attack, but it has now been added to a growing pile of NYPD data showing misdemeanor assaults up 9% from this time last year and up nearly 15% over the past 2 years. You can hear the stories of women randomly punched on social media.
I just got punched in the face walking home.
Oh my God, it hurts so bad. I can't even talk.
Woman, 81 years old, randomly punched in head on Upper West Side, right outside of a migrant shelter. Now, this is a gang initiation thing. We don't know the story. I believe I hope they're looking for the suspect here. I don't think it's a coincidence it's right outside of a migrant shelter, as this is part of a gang initiation. It's also a game that youths have been playing on social media, just, you know, punch a cracker in the head. Where's the outrage? You know, what do you think an appropriate punishment for that guy should be? If you had serious prosecutors, I'd probably charge him for attempted murder. Yeah. Now, you might not assume the charges are going to stick. They overcharge people as a strategy all the time. And then you get the assault charge to stick, and you get significant jail time. But who knows if that guy's even a citizen at large. And, you know, when you watch that video, and we've probably all witnessed this to a certain extent, and I don't even know what is to properly blame for this, but guys, just go ahead and put the B-roll up for me. I don't want the audio here. And maybe this is like the TV generation or the social media generation where there's almost like this zap of humanity where you have two people there that watch this lady get knocked out. And the one girl is like, I don't know, she's like unfazed. And the guy kind of comes running to her aid. Well, why didn't that guy just knock that punk ass out? There's like weird human instincts that have been completely eradicated. It's very strange. And this is kind of a larger thing. I mean, I think we've all witnessed this at some point, maybe. Maybe even we've all been a part of it at some point where you see something crazy happen and it's just like, I don't know, it's like a dehumanizing thing, or it's like a, you can't even believe it's real. I don't know, or like there's a fear factor or something. But I'm sitting here, I'm like, the young lady's reaction, where is your instinct to care for this woman? Where is your instinct to like put your freaking phone down? I don't know, or use it to call the police. And then this guy comes jogging over. Where's your instinct to take care of this perp? This violent punk ass. I just don't get it. I feel like that's not normal. I feel like 20 years ago, that's not how this goes. 20 years ago, that young woman probably gives aid to this woman or uses a phone to call the police. 20 years ago, this guy probably does everything he can to stop the criminal, if not get into a physical confrontation with him. So what is that? Is that just TV zapping our souls, social media zapping our souls? What? I mean, I don't know. That does not seem like a normal social interaction to be having when you witness an old lady get punched out cold on the streets. And by the way, there's stuff like this all the time in New York City. There was a video the other day. I was using this to kind of expand on the illegal migrant thing, and he just walks down the road. And, you know, that's kind of what it is, too. And it kind of ties into this other story. How is it he just flippantly walks down the road and it's like, oh, yeah. Well, because a lot of these people actually were raised in hard situations, and maybe that's what it is. We just have a generation of softies, and they know everybody out there is a soft. They know everybody out there is a coward. So he just walks down the street with his chest up like, yeah, I just nearly killed an old woman. What are you going to do about it? They know people are soft. They know people were raised in a very soft environment, soft lifestyle. So that guy's probably an illegal immigrant. We don't know, but probably an illegal immigrant. Probably came from a hard area, maybe even in a gang initiation there. So he's tough, and he knows that these people walking the streets in New York, I guess, are soft. It ain't the New York City it once was. Hell, that old lady's probably tougher than everybody there. Takes a punch to the face. Gets up to tell the story. But there was another video out of New York City just the other day. This just deranged man. It looks like he had a conflict or something with a guy eating restaurant. This is on the upper side of New York, one of the nice, wealthy areas. Very nice restaurant. People eating on the sidewalk. And he gets into some confrontation. This street vermin gets into a confrontation with a guy eating dinner and just starts wildly punching people. And then it's like 1 versus 20. None of the wait staff, which are like mostly men, can stop him. None of the men that are eating there at the restaurant can stop him. And after they get him down, he just pops right back up and just runs right back at the guy and says, no, we're fighting. What is that? Hey, I get it. It would be nice to live in a civilization, live in a world, live in a society where, you know, you don't have to have your head on a swivel and you don't have to be ready to protect innocent people or women and children or elderly people on the streets of New York because it's a frickin' jungle. But here we are. Here we are. But it's like, where are the instincts? Where are the instincts when you have violent criminals walking the streets confidently in New York City with their chests high, knowing nobody will do anything about them? That's crazy. That's crazy. You know, maybe that's why this North Carolina sheriff. Yeah, there it is. Look at that. The crew even found it. This is exactly what I'm talking about. Look at it. It's like 1 versus 20, and they can't even take care of him. And he's like, oh, yeah, these guys are no threats. I'm just going to walk right back in. They don't even – what is that? I'm not sitting here acting like I'm some sort of a tough guy, but, like, I have instincts. Okay? I have instincts, and I've been in situations I know those instincts kick in. It's like, where are the instincts here? Like, you had this guy on the ground, take care of him. He's done. And then this other guy runs away. I mean, what in the hell, man? Where are the men? Where are your instincts? Now, if you let this roll, there's the perfect image at the end of it where this family is running away. And it's like, that is the perfect image. This crazed street vermin harassing people, terrorizing people, and this poor family has to run away with the kids because nobody can take care of him. Yeah, right there. So what the hell is that? Again, I'm not claiming I'm some sort of a tough guy. I don't do UFC training like that. I've been in some street fights, but it's like, I know I have instincts, and certain instincts kick in when you see vulnerable women and children with violent street vermin swinging wildly at them. And then I just see a whole restaurant of men and, like, no instincts at all. What is that? Great job by the crew. I don't know. Maybe this new North Carolina sheriff is talking about something else when he says this in clip one.
God-given rights. And it says when government becomes destructive to these ends, meaning when they go above and beyond trying to secure our liberties and trying to take them, it's the right of the people to alter or abolish that government, either by voting or ultimately, God forbid, to use our Second Amendment rights to protect ourselves from tyranny. And I'm just asking all of y'all to unanimously join our sister counties of Wilkes, Surrey, Stokes, Lincoln, and Cherokee and get on board with this thing and publicly demonstrate to us that you're willing to uphold and honor the same oath I took when I put my hand on God's word and held my other hand up to him and swore that I'd give my life to defend that Constitution. I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but regardless of what y'all do or don't do, I'm not going to enforce an unconstitutional law. I'm going to protect.
Tell you what, folks, you better wake up. Cleaning up these streets is not going to happen overnight. You better wake up. They want you disarmed and vulnerable. And then they want to make sure that the violent criminals stay out on the streets because they refuse to put them in jail. Now, if you're a grandma that protested an abortion, then you're going to spend the rest of your life in jail. If you're a violent criminal in New York City that punches old ladies, nearly kills them, you'll be out on the streets the next day. You better wake up. Better have your head on a swivel. I mean, especially if you're in one of these Democrat cities. That is a very wealthy area. That is a very expensive restaurant where that happened. That lady walking her dog You think she thought somebody would just come up behind her and cold clock her for no reason? This is what the Democrats have done to our civilization. You better respond accordingly. Now, I don't know. I mean, you want to talk about the strange. I guess we could go to this. I don't know. This is like, I mean, are we living in a twilight zone? What the hell is going on? And I looked into this. The story is pretty well known if you're in Nashville, Tennessee. If you hang out around Broadway, there's a homeless guy who got into some sort of accident and his head was busted open. And I don't mean just like a head wound. I mean head completely busted open, skull showing, like raw meat and flesh, maybe even his brain exposed. Now, this has been a phenomenon going on in downtown Nashville for a couple of weeks. And guys, that's why I sent you that Reddit thread. There's about a dozen pictures if you scroll through that. You know what? And take that off the screen. Because let me just tell you, folks, this is graphic stuff. I'm sorry. I apologize. I didn't give you a fair warning. I mean, this is a man with half of his head missing and his skull cracked open. And he's walking around the street. So I apologize for not giving a proper warning about the gory nature of this. So if you don't want to see a man with his head busted wide open and his skull showing on the streets of Nashville, Tennessee, maybe just, you know, turn away from the television at this point. But this is a well-known thing. There's dozens of pictures on this Reddit thread. The guy with half his head missing on Broadway, people couldn't even believe it. And then there's all kinds of pictures. And you guys may just want to go look. Yeah, there's one of them. What? Just so we don't put anything else up there on that Reddit thread that we're not expecting. But well-known, this guy's been walking around with half of his head missing in downtown Nashville, his skull busted. I mean, folks, this is what? And apparently the story is, whatever the accident was that led to this, he goes to the hospital. They wouldn't let him smoke his vape pen. So he checked out because he couldn't smoke his vape. Sir, your skull is showing. Maybe a more pressing issue than your vape addiction. Nope, he checked out. Yeah. I mean, folks, that's like out of Alien. What in the hell is going on out here, man? Yeah, he's like eating his brain, literally. I mean, this is like the zombie apocalypse. Okay. So, you know what? Maybe he should, somebody get that man a t-shirt from alexjonesstore.com. Maybe we can wrap his head so he doesn't have to show the people of Nashville, Tennessee, his exposed skull smacked open. But hey, at least he got his vape. Oh my gosh. But hey, if he doesn't want to put a t-shirt from the Alex Jones Store over his head, maybe you do. Check out the new merch.
This bad boy is the number one seller at the AlexJonesStore.com. Rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God. Folks love it. I love it. I love wearing this out in public. And it also lets the globals let us know we are standing up against them, and we know who they serve, and we know who we serve. The BlackRock globalist-controlled left, from academia to the media, is obsessed with bullying you into silence because their ideas are illegal and unpopular. And if you simply speak up, it's game over. So stop thinking it's just Alex Jones or Tucker Carlson or Donald Trump's going to save the world. It's all of us together. And wearing t-shirts in public that promote freedom is key. It doesn't just show our enemies we're awake. Other people see it and realize how popular freedom is. So ladies and gentlemen, it's a win-win. Get great shirts at thealexjonesstore.com. Fund the operations. We fight the tyrants at point-blank range and meet like-minded people and spread the word in the third dimension. Take action now and don't let the left silence you. thealexjonesstore.com. Today's conspiracy theories, tomorrow's truths.
Some of these conspiracy theories have turned out to be true.
Which ones?
the Trump Russia witch hunt, Jeffrey Epstein, JFK assassination, the misuse of the Patriot Act, the Iraq war, the weapons of mass destruction, the war in Ukraine, the bombing of the Nord Stream pipeline, the open border migration caravans, the climate change scam, chemtrails, and HARP, and 9/11 being an inside job, and the Internet of Things surveillance grid, and PFAs, and chemicals in the water turning everyone gay, and the 2020 election being stolen, and January 6th being filled with undercover feds, and Bilderberg, and Bohemian Grove, and global government, not to mention gain-of-function research, and the threat of China, and collapsing birth rates, and defund the police, and George Soros, and mail-in ballots, and big tech censorship, and disinformation agencies, and Obama's birth certificate, and probably some others I can't think of. I mean, so a few of them. I guess a couple of them have been true.
You will meet so many amazing people wearing the shirt. I see you'll get probably 50 compliments before you get one person screaming at you.
Donald J. Trump is now President of the United States.
But it's an adventure to wear any of these shirts, but particularly this one. Get this design and so many others. They're limited edition at thealexshowstore.com. Keep us on air in our fight against the globalists. And I want to thank you so much for your support, because literally, when you call in thanking me on air, I say stop, because I'm thanking you. I love fighting the globalists. This is what I do. We've had such a huge effect together. So I want to thank you all for your past support. I encourage you now to go to thealexshowstore.com and be sure to enter for the free truck and $10,000 and buy more product, support the broadcast, and get entered 5 or 10 times, depending on the day, each time you buy a product. This new initiative is so important to the future. So everybody, if you support what we're doing and want to get great shirts and ball caps at the same time, go to thealexjonesstore.com. And I almost forgot, most of these shirts come in multiple colors.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are shortly going to be joined by Dinesh D'Souza. I originally, and I still do intend to talk to Dinesh D'Souza about the first Trump assassination attempt. He put out the documentary vindicating Trump. Now, since this has been produced, now there has been a second assassination attempt. So we will be talking to Dinesh D'Souza about that as well. We have a trailer of his latest documentary coming up for you shortly. And then Dinesh D'Souza on the first assassination attempt, the second assassination attempt, and his latest documentary film. He makes very powerful documentaries. I have high expectations for this. And so we will give you a preview of that and then be joined live by Dinesh D'Souza. Ladies and gentlemen, don't go anywhere.
Supplements are the second fastest growing industry in America over the last few decades. AI's now outstripped it. And that's because people continue to learn how amazing the compounds are that Mother Nature gives us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, not all supplements are created equal. InfoWars MD line, more than 15 products, are all the very best you're going to find at extremely low prices. Take our CBD oil, gummies, and 1,000 milligram tincture. We private label it from a top company. They sell it retail for double what we sell it for. Does that give you an idea how amazing these products are and how low the prices are? Just get InfoWars MD CBD, test it out, see how great it is, and then I know you're going to want the other products, like our ashwagandha, like our super green food, like our 95% curcuminoid, turmeric 95. They're all available under the InfoWars MD line at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you for your support. This keeps us on air. Plus, these are game-changing products. Get yours today.
Let me take some brain force, and then we'll do this commercial. How about that? I can think again. This is the liquid tincture version of Brain Force, which means you can really tailor it to exactly what you need. I tend to take maybe a little bit more than is directed, but it's incredibly powerful stuff, and I have an incredibly demanding job. But you make it easy by going to InfoWarsStore.com, and of course, InfoWarsStore.com makes it easy by supplying me with Brain Force Ultra. I rely on this product to do my job on a daily basis because it's absolutely jam-packed with incredible ingredients. Brain Force Ultra is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, and get it now because this stuff sells out fast for very good reason. It's a fantastic supplement. It's the type of supplement that once you start taking it, well, you're going to notice if you stop. Go check out what's in Brain Force Ultra. Do your own research, and what you'll find is that this is a powerhouse formula for incredible mental clarity, focus, and energy. Now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com. Brain Force Ultra is now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com.
InfoWars.com/show.
The American way of life
is under attack. This is the War Room.
Somebody has to help this country, and if they don't, the country and the world are in big trouble.
Someone's got to overturn the tables in the temple.
Trump jumping into the presidential race.
She's a bit worried.
Of the Apprentice guy?
You know the feeling of power. Could you handle it or would it devour?
They fear that power. You didn't do an insurrection. Had you called for one, there would have been one. Mm-hmm. And there would be one if you called for one now.
I'm not sure I want that power. I want the power just to make the country better.
America first!
And that scares them.
A lot about Donald Trump scares them.
Let's look at everything. Campaign, his family. Let's get foreign eyes on him.
We have one target. You know who he is.
Going after their companies, their families. That is a dictator.
It's a very dangerous time for our country.
The goal is to put him in jail because they're so afraid of his voice.
I am your voice.
We'll bury him so deep in legal, he'll bankrupt us.
Bro, got him in jail right before the election.
That's sorry for being that guy, but isn't that election interference?
It's not interference if we do it.
We just want a free and fair election.
Sounds expensive.
Ballots ain't cheap.
Wait. Did you actually say the word buy the ballots?
We were able to purchase 10,000 ballots.
That's terrifying.
They cheat in many different ways. That's all they're good at.
Ready to save democracy?
We need to stop him permanently.
And that person will be risking his life.
Too bad it's not the 60s, right?
It's the way you survived.
I said, get me up.
Trump has beaten back every attack against him.
It's like a damn tourney.
We're going to fix our borders, and we're going to fix our elections. We're going to win.
This is my legacy.
Vindicating Trump.
The best is yet to come.
Coming to theaters September 27th, and Dinesh D'Souza, this is the latest from Dinesh D'Souza Films, joins me now. Dinesh, I got a short remainder here of this segment, long segments coming after that. Now, your last documentary film, the 3,000 Mules or 10,000 Mules, I always forget the number, it might as well be 100,000 Mules, that documentary film changed people's minds. You even put that as part of the documentary, how after they saw it, their minds were changed on what went down in the election. Does this film, will this film have a similar impact, or is the aim a little different?
Well, the topic of election fraud is in this film as well, although it's approached in a different way. I think with the Democrats, they don't cheat the same way every time. In fact, they can't. They can't deploy mules in 2024 in exactly the same way. Why? Because patriots are going to be looking for it. So they're going to need new strategies. And so what we did in this film was we said, all right, you know, it's kind of like if they've broken into Fort Knox before, but they can't do it the same way. What is the vulnerability of our election system? And we have found one or two things that are really new and serious, and we put them forward in the film. I would call it The Ballot Makers. That's the name of the section inside the movie. Now, the movie is about Trump. It's a vindication. It's making the case for Trump, but it's not making the case in the namby-pamby way of people who say things like, well, you know, I don't really like Trump, but, you know, I like his policies. Or they say things like, well, if he'd only keep his mouth shut. Or, you know, I don't like Trump, but Kamala's worse. So these are all kind of hesitant defenses of Trump. I want to answer those people and make a completely different case. So Trump is exactly the right guy for the peculiar situation in which we find ourselves as a country. We don't need to remake him. We don't need to rehabilitate him. We need Trump as is. For this moment in history, in this country, in this situation, he's our only chance.
Well, and it's likely that the deep state realizes that, and that's probably why they've had some hand in now the two assassination attempts. Now, you know, you produced this film before the second assassination attempt, so I would like to get your response to that and what impact you think that might have on the reception of this film that is coming out in just 10 days. Dinesh D'Souza is my guest. Short break here and then long segments. Really looking forward to getting into Dinesh's head about this film and the second assassination attempt.
folks. Nerve Renew is in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, and this supplement is amazing for a number of different reasons. First of all, we know that prescription opioids and pain relievers end up making us feel groggy, cloudy of mind, and frankly, addicted after time. But with Nerve Renew, we have key natural ingredients. It's a nerve support formula designed specifically for peripheral neuropathy and nerve pain relief. So if you need help relieving your aches and pains and inflammation, and maybe even some nerve damage that you have from an injury or just working with your hands for years and years, Nerve Renew is the way to go. So by visiting InfoWarsStore.com and getting Nerve Renew under the InfoWars MD tab at the top of the website, not only are you investing in your own health, relieving your own pain in a natural, healthy, and safe way, but you're keeping InfoWars on the air. We know that InfoWars is under attack. Alex Jones is under attack. Freedom of speech is under attack. But you can fight to keep InfoWars on the air. So please go to InfoWarsStore.com right now and get Nerve Renew under the InfoWars MD tab at the top.
It's an omen!
Defending the truth on the front lines of the information war. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
My guest is Dinesh D'Souza. The film, Vindicating Trump, in theaters September 27th. I want to talk about this film. I want to talk about how the second assassination attempt will maybe impact how this film hits. Because I know that that was one of the big stories leading into this film. Dinesh D'Souza joins me now. So Dinesh, let's start with the first assassination attempt. How did that fit its way into this film? And how does this film present the coverage or maybe lack thereof when it comes to the first assassination attempt?
Well, the film, you could almost say, is divided into various forms of assassination. It starts with character assassination. Trump is a racist. Trump is a misogynist. The attempt to sort of destroy Trump's character. The second, I would call it legal assassination. Of course, in a way, the term warfare, we say it habitually, but it's taken from the idea of warfare, right? It's a form of combat. It's a form of trying to take Trump out, perhaps lock him up for life, which is a kind of a death penalty. And then, of course, you have actual assassination. Now, very interestingly, we were supposed to interview Trump before the first assassination attempt, and I'm glad we didn't, because we would not have been able to cover it. And so we covered in some detail Trump and I sitting 2 feet apart, reflecting on all this and really excavating the meaning behind what's going on, because I think that the first assassination attempt is revealing on so many different levels, and it's very revealing of Trump's character, because you see Trump's reaction that is unrehearsed. It's not something anyone could put on an act. It's not something that they could practice for. You get a window into a man's character, and you realize that the level of courage and determination on the part of this guy is unrivaled, I think, of almost anyone alive today. Most Republicans would be crushed even by 91, I mean, by 5 criminal indictments, right? Forget about 91. So Trump has shown an incredible ability to endure, to persist, even to push back, even to deflect. He's ultimately triumphed over those criminal indictments because there's not a single one that is being taken seriously before the election. So that's a huge victory in and of itself. But then the way he reacted spontaneously to the first assassination attempt, by the way, it was mirrored in a small way with the second, when he was irritated that it interrupted his golf game. He's like, I was about to do a really good putt, and then now, you know, they're taking me off the off the golf course. So this is a very unusual man who reacts in an unusual way. So if we're looking for a leader of exemplary courage, well, he's our guy.
I'm curious, how much of this film consists of that exclusive interview that nobody's seen yet with Donald Trump?
Well, my films are, you know, they're very cinematic, and this film is 90 minutes, 95 minutes long. I would say about 20 minutes of the film. Admittedly, the centerpiece of the film, I also have interviews with Laura Trump, with a legal discussion with Alina Haba, who's his lawyer. We also have magnificent recreations in the film. We have a kind of a Democratic National Committee war room. We have a media war room. We have a kind of intelligence community war room. So as Trump is being indicted, prosecuted, convicted, you get the reactions inside these media war rooms. So the film is a fast-moving, entertaining, very engaging film. But the Trump interview, I think, is very eye-opening because when I first met Trump, I saw a kind of side of him that I've never seen in the public domain, because Trump is just, he doesn't like to put a certain part of himself on public exhibit. And so I was determined to try to bring that out in a very natural way in a one-on-one conversation. And I'm happy to say I think I did.
You know, I'm curious because I see this going around now. You know, the Democrats love to get in front of the cameras and say, how am I supposed to talk to my kids about a Nazi running for president? How am I supposed to tell my grandchildren that they want to keep guns in the hands of America? Oh, my gosh. And they do this whole thing. Well, wait a second. You know, I think the serious one is, Don Jr. said this the other day, you know, how is he supposed to tell his grand, how is he supposed to tell Trump's grandkids, his sons and daughters, that there are people out there that are trying to kill Donald Trump? Now, I would like the media to tell that story, that there's a deep state and there's a uniparty establishment that wants Trump dead. Does he get into any of that and how his family is dealing with this?
He gets into his own reaction, not so much the family reaction. And he sort of does a walkthrough of his inner state as this is going on, sort of photographically, step by step. He also makes comments about the psychology of the crowd because, you know, he makes the point, I think, very plausibly. He says, look, normally all you have to do is shout, you know, fire or gunshot. What happens? Everybody runs like crazy for the exits. There's an immediate stampede. He goes, except here. Look at this rally. There's no stampede. No one is running. There are actually people who are stretching to full height to try to see if they can spot the shooter, obviously in a way exposing themselves in the process. So all of this, I think Trump is using so as not to completely make it all about him. Unbelievably, in a moment that really is all about him, he's talking about the guys who got shot. He's talking about the bravery of the crowd. And all of this is very interesting. But there's also a lot of, I got to say, Owen, you know, intellectual content in the film, because I'll give you an example of a sample question I posed to Trump, and I won't give you his answer, but just to think about the question. I say, listen, the left keeps saying you called for an insurrection. And I go, I can't see any evidence that you did. You didn't do that. But guess what? If you had called for one, there would have been one. And if you called for one now, there would probably be one now. And you can see Trump's face like digesting that and him reacting to it and reflecting on it and commenting on it. And I think all of this is very interesting. I've never seen him cope with this kind of stuff before.
Well, it's one example. I mean, you want to talk about the character assassination. I don't know if this fits into that. But, you know, it was Trump on January 6th that sent out the message, go home. And that's when people started going home. I mean, you know, so he actually sent out the message, hey, leave the Capitol, go home. That's when it started clearing out and people went home. And, of course, the media does the mirrored reality of that, saying that he caused the whole thing and told people to go there. So is that part of the film? You talk about the character assassination. Is that where the media lying about him, misrepresenting what he said, come into play?
Absolutely. That's a big part of it. And also the, you know, look at what the all this rhetoric we're hearing now about, let's tone it down. We need to kind of dial it back. Our rhetoric has gotten too extreme and so on. Well, our rhetoric hasn't. Trump's rhetoric hasn't. The media is unwilling to cover this with the gravity it deserves. And I think the reason for it is just this. They are part of the poisonous atmosphere that leads to these attempted assassinations. Trump, I know, put out a long a kind of a screed of all these Democrats saying he's Hitler, he's a threat to democracy, he's a threat to the country, all the way from Biden and Harris, all kinds of elected officials. But how do the views of those elected officials get transmitted to the American people? How do kooks hear about them? Answer, the media. So the media is a key figure here. And we have gone from bias, which is a problem we dealt with in the 80s and 90s and early 2000s, to now a media that is full Goebbels. I mean, it's entirely propagandistic, brazen lying, and so double standards doesn't even capture it anymore.
Did you talk to Trump about the idea or the reality that he might be going to jail?
Yes, and I put it this way. I basically said, look, what is your sort of psychology here, because any normal person, first of all, any Republican facing a handful of criminal charges would have exited the race. You are not even a normal Republican. You have Mar-a-Lago. It's this palatial place. It makes the White House look like low-income housing. And yet you stay in the fray, even though you're facing the equivalent of a life sentence. Why do you do it? Like, what is in it for you? It's not, you can't say, well, I want the power. You've already had the power. You've been there. You've done that. And so I get Trump to sort of self-examine himself a little bit to see why he's still pushing ahead. And I don't let him give a sort of a pat answer. I want him to really answer the question so people can see what his true motivation, his true psychology is. How does he think about these things? Also, the other thing is, remember all the people on the left who say, even now, oh, he's never going to leave. He's never going to leave. Look at all the tweets he puts out where he says, you know, 4 more years, 8 more years, Trump 28, Trump 32, Trump 36. This guy plans to stay on as a dictator. And I ask him straight out. I go, are you going to leave? And, you know, I think you know the answer. Of course he is. But he talks about the fact that he's really in it to get it done, get out of there, and let somebody else take it up from here. This is the kind of critical pivot moment for the country, and he wants to be there for that.
You know, it's funny you say that, because I was thinking about this earlier today. You know, if the Democrats really want Trump to get out of the race, or if the Democrats, let's say, really want Trump to just get out of politics, which I think they do, they'll stop at nothing to do that. We've seen it. So it's like, if the Democrats really want Trump out of politics, all they have to do is stop destroying the country. It's that simple. Stop destroying the country and Trump will get out of the way. He doesn't want to be. And so I guess I would ask you like this. You know, how political is Donald Trump, right? I mean, does he talk about how much he's not really interested in politics or hates getting into the political fray, but he's doing this for the country? Because I think a lot of Americans feel the same way. I don't like politics. I'm not a political guy. I came from the sports media. When I saw the state of media, I was like, okay, well, I can't do sports anymore. It's not time to be fun and do sports anymore. How much of that is the motivation for Trump? I mean, how much does he not even like the political fray, but he's going into it because he knows that that's where we're at right now as a nation?
For the left and for the Democrats, what you call destroying the country, they consider to be a progressive achievement. And this is the key. So, you know, if you say to them, hey, why don't you stop destroying the country? They'll be like, no, that's our goal. That's what we're doing. The only reason we don't like Trump is he is the only sort of 800-pound gorilla who can threaten to stop us. Let me give an analogy that I think really throws the whole issue into clarity. Think of the old Western, right? You have a peaceful town, Shinbone or Pleasantville. Everyone's getting along. There's an old toothbrush mustache sheriff, and that's like the old GOP establishment. And then some gangsters come in and they start wrecking the town. They start by murdering people. They take over the saloon. They take over the provision store. And then over the hills comes an outsider, a stranger. Not much is known about him. But the gangsters know right away that this is their threat. This is the guy they have to deal with. This is the guy they have to neutralize. And yet the members of the town aren't so sure. They're like, who is this guy? You know, some of them are like, well, you know, he's not a family man. You know, we don't know anything about him. Can we really trust him? But the gangsters understand him completely. They understand this is the guy. So that's Trump. Trump is the guy coming over the mountain. And this, I think, is we're living through a modified plot of an old Western movie, with the only difference that we don't know the ending.
You kind of sound like you just explained the old film Magnificent Seven in a way. It kind of sounded like that's how you were describing it, at least.
I mean, Owen, that's High Noon. For a few dollars more. That's The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance. There's a kind of underlying morality tale in the American Western. And I say this because, you know, when I lived in India as a teenager, I didn't have a lot of exposure to America, but I watched a lot of war movies and I watched a lot of Westerns. So I'm a little bit of a student of the Western. And by the way, I described this scenario to Trump and have him react to it.
Well, and it's funny you mention that, because now Bollywood does very Western kind of spaghetti Western films now. I mean, they take it to like a whole nother level. I mean, it's kind of just ridiculous, some of the cinematography and action scenes that Bollywood is doing. But they've kind of taken those old Western films and remade it in their own image, if you will. It's funny you bring that up. My guest, Dinesh D'Souza, the film Vindicating Trump is in theaters September 27th. That's 10 days from now. Dinesh, I'm curious because we've heard about this in the past with let's say, films with a similar political bent or message. Was there any trouble trying to get this into theaters? Was there any pushback when it came to getting this film into theaters?
You know, I thought there might be. And the reason is, of course, Trump. Trump is just radioactive in the Hollywood world. I think the good news is we have good relations with all the theaters. We've been dealing with them now for a decade. My first film, Obama's America, came out in 2012. So they were open to doing it, and they are. What people often don't realize is that the fate of a film depends on the opening weekend. And so that is key. The film opens the weekend of September 27th. So if you can possibly go that weekend, September 27th, 28th, 29th, do that and take a bunch of friends and go. Our website is vindicatingtrump.com. That's where you can watch a trailer right now. In fact, tomorrow morning, a whole bunch of theaters, some 500 or so theaters will go up and more theaters will be added throughout the week. So what's cool is you put in your zip code, boom, theaters come up. And you'll be able to buy tickets right there on the website. So vindicatingtrump.com, that's the website to go to.
I thought one of the most powerful things of your 2000 Mules film was in the beginning, you sat down with some people in a room. Few of them were conservatives, Trump supporters. And you said, do you think that the election was stolen from Trump? They said no. And then they watched your film and they said, okay, my mind has been changed. If you take maybe an undecided voter to see this film, or maybe even a Trump hater to see this film, if you can figure out a way to do that, maybe you trick them and you tell them it's like an LGBTQ film. Is this the kind of film that can change people's minds?
Oh, and without a doubt. I mean, even the liberals who saw 2000 Mules, we know from the Rasmussen survey, because they did a national survey on that movie, it had a tremendous impact on people who watched the film, no matter what their political views. This film is very similar, and in part it's similar because it's highly entertaining. It gets you to laugh out loud multiple times in the film, and so it disarms you a little bit. Now, I have a book that's going to go with the movie. The book is a little bit more of a systematic, sort of Dineshian type of argument. But a film is fundamentally an entertainment. The key to my movies is that I make them fun. I make them inspirational. This one has more humor than some of my other films. And so I think by drawing you in that way, the message comes down, but it comes down really without you being fully aware of what's going on. And you take it, it's more digestible that way. It doesn't seem like I'm trying to sell you on something about Trump. I'm showing you Trump. You make up your mind.
Are you going to get the Mar-a-Lago watch party?
You know what? We are, but not before the film releases. Trump is in an insane mode right now. So I think we're going to do something in October with Trump that's kind of a movie celebration. It's kind of the opposite of a premiere. The movie will already have been in theaters, but I think it's going to be seen. I guarantee you this film is going to be seen by tens of millions of people in the next couple of months.
You know, I'm just curious because I've seen the type of work it takes to go into the documentary film process. How much mainstream media hate Trump footage did you have to comb through for this film?
Not a lot. And the reason is very simple, Owen. That stuff is so much out there that producing lengthy compilations of it doesn't really add very much. What I think about in my films is, what am I giving you that's new that you haven't seen yet? So I'll give you a glimpse of a bunch of people calling Trump a fascist or a dictator. But all of that will occur probably inside of 90 seconds. And then I'm going to go into the content of what they're saying and show you a new way to think about it. So, yes, I mean, I'm very familiar with the footage. But, a lot of people who do documentaries do sort of recycling of just footage that's out there and a few interviews. And there you go. Here's a documentary film. This film is not like that. It's more like a movie. And you watch it and you're going to be a little changed on the inside, no matter what your initial politics when you walk out.
So I see there, obviously, Donald Trump, the focus point. You mentioned Laura Trump in there as well, Trump's attorney, Alina Habba. Are there any other political figures that are going to have a cameo here or that even talk to you here?
Well, we have political figures who play acting roles in the film. And so, for example, the actor Nick Searcy is one of our bad guys in the film. He sort of plays the you know, the director of the intelligence agencies in the film. And there are a number of other recognizable figures whom you'll recognize from movies that are also in the film. But no, this is a film that's a little more concentrated than my other films. And it is a film that, well, it's a film that's built around an idea that Abraham Lincoln outlined when he was a young man. Abraham Lincoln predicted in his so-called Lyceum speech, he says, at some point in American history, the country will face a genuine threat of tyranny, of dictatorship. And Lincoln says it's going to be some kind of a Caesar that's going to show up on the American scene and try to subvert the Constitutional Republic. Lincoln doesn't say who it is. And he doesn't say when it's going to happen. The premise of my film is it is happening now. The left and the Democrats go, oh, aha, of course it's happening now. That Caesar, that dictator, that autocrat, that's Trump. And part of the theme of the film is, no, it's not Trump. But if it's not Trump, who is it? Where is that threat coming from? What is the nature of the Caesar that we're dealing with in 2024? And so the film has this kind of provocative historical and almost a Lincolnian prophecy behind it. And that question is explored through the career of Trump and, of course, the left.
By the way, is that an Abraham Lincoln bust behind you?
It is.
I'm assuming that's the straight one, not the newly depicted gay one that they have in the new film. I don't know if you saw that. I'm going to assume that's the straight one, but we can't be too sure these days. By the way, you know, for your next film, I've been waiting to make my big screen debut. So, you know, if you're looking for somebody to fill a role, don't hesitate to reach out. I'd be more than happy to, even just a small part. I'll just walk across the screen if you want. I'll just do a little walk by. I could be an extra, you know, whatever you need. I'll hold a cone if you want, whatever needs to happen for the next Dinesh D'Souza film. It would be an honor. I want one more question about the film. The next segment, I just want to talk to you and some of your political opinions. In your synopsis here, you know, this is such an incredible phenomenon that you're talking about, that we're witnessing. How can a man be so intensely loved and hated? I see this everywhere. It's like the dress. Is it blue? Is it yellow? How do you respond to that? How do people look at the same thing and see two completely different things?
That is a puzzle that I wrestle with throughout this film. And I think it's more a puzzle with Trump than with anyone else. I mean, obviously, with Reagan was a divisive figure. All political figures had people who like them, people who hate them. But I think the intensity of the division with regard to Trump is bigger than anyone that I can think of since Lincoln. And even with Lincoln, I have to say, kind of a little bit of a student of Lincoln, that the division over Lincoln was not over the man. It was over the issue. It was over slavery and the extension of slavery. With Trump, the division is not about any issue per se. It is about Trump. It is about the man. And so that's what creates what I call the Trump enigma that is explored both in the book and the movie. If I can say one more time, vindicatingtrump.com, that's the website. You can pre-order the book there now. You can sign up for email updates tonight or tomorrow morning. Most likely tomorrow, we'll have all our theaters popping up and continuing to populate the site through the week. You can get your tickets this week on vindicatingtrump.com.
Absolutely. I recommend people go see this film opening weekend. Bring a friend, bring a family member, bring an undecided voter, bring a Trump hater. Who knows? You might change their mind. Maybe, I mean, it's things like this that could even change the outcome of an election, especially when it's on a hairline right now. Dinesh D'Souza is my guest. Now, we just talked about his new movie, Vindicating Trump, vindicatingtrump.com. I just want to talk to Dinesh D'Souza about where he thinks we're at as a country and some of the political stories next.
At InfoWars MD, you can find the most popular in-demand supplements available and sourced at the highest quality. Nitric Oxide, Probiotics, Joint Relief Max, Nerve Renew, Prostate Support, Collagen, Superfood Greens, Turmeric, Ashwagandha, CBD, along with Mushroom Match Nootropic, Better Mood Plus, Libido RX, and Good Night Sleep. improve the quality of your life, and support the InfoWar. Go to InfoWarsMD under Health and Wellness at InfoWarsStore.com.
Please listen closely because this is life-changing critical information. The globalists are bombarding us with toxic chemicals hitting us in the air, the water, the food, the 5G, the poison shots, the shedding, the GMO, all of it. But God's given us compounds through nature that do incredible things in our body. And one of the most important, if not the most important, is vitamin B12. We've got the best organic vitamin B12, Ultra 12, a bestseller finally back in stock after close to a year being sold out. You take it under the tongue for better absorption, and it's 40% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. So go to InfoWarsStore.com right now. Get your Ultra 12 and other great products for 40% off. Some products are even more, and it keeps the show on the air. That is a 360 win. The only way you lose is not taking action. I thank you all for your support, being part of this fight. Now go to InfoWarsStore.com right now. It's been sold out for a while. It is pure deep earth crystal iodine. It's so hard to make. You've got to have DEA approved labs to do it. And it takes months and months to break it down in this special patented process. Nobody else has true nascent iodine. They put it on the label, but it's still bound to other elements and it's not fully absorbable by the cells. It's the missing link. Even the UN estimates 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. Up until the 30s, we had major IQ reduction because of lack of iodine in the U.S. food supply. Especially in the U.S. Midwest. From the 30s to the early 80s, the government put crappy iodine in the salt by law. And IQs went up 15 points on average. Burnt effects went way down. And in the early 80s, they took it out again. This is the deep earth crystal, pure, meaning atomic, on the atomic table. And it goes into the cells at a cellular level. Survival Shield X2, now available 25% off. InfoWarsStore.com. 5-star review or call toll-free 888-253-3139.
I talk a lot about the great successes InfoWars has had. I don't think anybody can deny it. And it is because of listeners and viewers supporting us. But when we talk about the crew at InfoWars, people behind the scenes, the researchers, the writers, they really have been the MVPs in this fight. And when we look at Harrison Smith and Owen Schroyer and the hard work they engage in every day, 5, 6, 7 days a week, it's really just incredible. So for myself and the whole InfoWars crew, I thank you for your past support. And I want to encourage you now to realize that InfoWars cannot stay on air if you do not support us. I know you spread the word. I know you pray for us. And that's wonderful. Keep doing it. But most viewers and listeners never go to InfoWarsStore.com and you never buy great products that enrich and empower your life while at the same time keep us on air. I know that less than 1% of our listeners actually go buy products at InfoWarsStore.com. If just 1% more of you took action and went to InfoWarsStore.com, our funding problems will be over. Please take action now.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
Unmasking the elite's deceptions. Welcome to the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Dinesh D'Souza is my guest. We just spent the last long segment talking about his new film, Vindicating Trump. It hits theaters September 27th. Go to VindicatingTrump.com to find out where you can get tickets to see this. Let's fill it opening weekend and make this thing go huge. But I want to just talk to Dinesh now about current events, news, politics, especially considering we just had the second assassination attempt of Donald Trump. Now, Dinesh, my concern here is that there is a mole in Trump's inner circle and or a leaker inside the Secret Service or one of these federal bureaucracies. I don't know what other conclusion I can reach after this second attempt and the fact that this was a golf outing that was not known but less than a day, and the shooter was somehow able to get in there and set up a sniper's nest. What do you think about those potentials with now just 49 days until the election?
Well, I think that, first of all, the very fact that you had a second attempt gives you the clear idea that these people aren't done, right? In other words, they tried, it failed. They've tried again, it failed again. Who's to say they won't try a third time? That's the first point. The second one is that even in the first assassination attempt, there were so many indications that something was amiss, something that goes beyond what I would call normal government incompetence. Because government is incompetent pretty much at everything it does. And so a certain measure of incompetence is to be expected. So I was not surprised, for example, that like overweight female Secret Service agents who can't find the place in the holster to put their guns and pretend to be looking around and really don't provide any effective protection at the moment for Trump. That DEI thing I can totally understand. However, what I don't understand is when people go to the cops and say, hey, there's a guy on the roof and he's got fatigues and he's got a backpack and he's got a gun. And Trump isn't, and that information doesn't move rapidly and Trump isn't immediately taken off the stage. The question is, why not? I then see a sniper, a government sniper, who seems to have Crooks, the would-be shooter, the shooter, in his sights before any shots are fired. And then you have shots, boom, 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 and then the government sniper takes him out. So that to me is a serious problem right there. Was the Secret Service basically saying, hey, listen, you know, we got to give that guy a chance to fire some shots first, then we take him out. Is that their policy, really? So I would just say that there were serious questions from the first assassination attempt. And now you add to it what you just said, which is how would some dude, you know, some Ukraine fanatic, some soldier of fortune, how would this guy have accurate information about where Trump is, where precisely Trump is going to be? He's got a golf game going on right now. How would you know that? Who told you that? So these are, I think, very legitimate questions, yes.
Well, and you always have to ask the question of who benefits. And by the way, it might be innocent enough, you know, somehow the media gets information leaked to them that Trump is going to be golfing. MSNBC had camera people out there filming Trump's outing as well. Guys, we got the B-roll of that in clip 12. So, I mean, you know, maybe it's innocent enough for somebody to give that information to a member of the press, but it's also... it shows you that, yeah, there's a vulnerability here. And so pointing a camera at Donald Trump is innocent enough. Obviously, allowing somebody to potentially point a gun at him and pull the trigger while he's playing golf trying to make a birdie putt is something entirely different. And really, he was only one hole away, I think, from the shooter getting the opportunity that he was looking for. And so, again, though, who benefits? I look at a situation with this guy deeply embedded with interest in the Ukraine war. And you look at NATO, if they view Trump as a threat to the never-ending funding to NATO or the never-ending funding to Ukraine, you know, well, there's a who benefits. And considering this guy was traveling and very interested in the war, I don't know how that's not an immediate part of this investigation. And yet I'm not hearing anybody in the media talk about it.
Trump has a very long list of enemies who benefit and quite honestly would not be sobbing too hysterically if he were eliminated from the scene. He has enemies in the form of China and Iran. He has enemies in the form of NATO and some of the European leaders. He has enemies right here in the form of Kamala Harris and Joe Biden and the Democratic establishment. I mean, Ron DeSantis said something kind of illuminating when he said, listen, why are we entrusting this investigation to a DOJ that is actively engaged in trying to criminally prosecute Trump and lock him up for life? Are these the people we want to trust with this investigation? And the presumed answer, which I heartily affirm, is no. So I agree. I think that it could be that some of these tentacles stretch abroad, but I would start by looking at home. I think it is far more likely that the malevolent figures we're looking for are in our own intelligence agencies. Now look, there are a couple of possibilities here, and it's not simply a matter of like the intelligence agencies completely orchestrating an event. Because if they're orchestrating the event from start to finish, I don't think they would pick Thomas Crooks or this guy to do it. On the other hand, imagine a somewhat more passive aggressive scenario. People high up in some of the intelligence agencies realize that there are a lot of kooks out there. They've been poisoned by the rhetoric of the media. These are people who on their own are willing to try to take a shot or do something to get rid of Trump. They think that they're getting rid of Hitler. They think that they're going to be heroes if they do this, very much the same as, you know, as happened with Lincoln. with John Wilkes Booth. And so the intelligence agencies go, well, listen, even if we find out about these guys, perhaps we don't do a whole lot about them. Perhaps we don't check the roof in the case of the Butler compound. Perhaps we just see what happens, let a few shots get off, and then boom, 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 we get rid of this guy so he'll never talk again. But so the negligence would, I think, make more sense if you understood it in the context not of an intelligence agency that was planning the event, but rather one that sort of knew about it and decided, hey, why don't we look over there while something is going on over here?
Yeah, I mean, we don't even have answers, really, from the first assassination attempt that we need. And quite frankly, Congress, and I'm specifically looking more so at the Republicans, have been an extreme letdown as far as getting answers and follow-up questions to the first hearings, which we were assured we would get, and then it's been radio silence. And now there's a second one that we have to deal with. And of course, you know, there's no doubt the deep state, the Democrats benefit from Trump getting out of the way as well. I mean, I guess I would ask you this, because I'm to the point now where I have almost no faith in Republicans in Congress in getting to the bottom of this. Maybe Ron DeSantis can help get some answers here, as he's pointing out the obvious. Hey, the same people that want Trump out of the way are now investigating this potential assassination. I mean, what are your feelings on the congressional hearings? What are your feelings on these special committees that are supposed to be looking into this? Do you have any confidence that we're going to get answers or truth?
This is where I genuinely feel bad about Trump, because I do think that the Republican reaction as a whole, even to the second assassination, extremely muted. I mean, just imagine how the Democrats would be reacting on the floor of the House and the Senate if someone did this or attempted it with Kamala Harris or Biden. They would be going insane. They would be screaming. They would not stop talking about this until the election and beyond. Whereas among Republicans, there's an eerie silence. I mean, it's the dog that isn't barking. And that alone, I think, is, I don't know if the Republicans just feel so dispirited themselves, or if they just have an emotional disconnect with Trump. There needs to be some explanation for Republican inaction and the fact that Republicans are treating this like a normal day at the office.
Yeah, I completely agree. As they say, the silence is deafening here. I just can't make any sense of it. I really can't make any sense of it. But like you said, if it was the roles being reversed, I mean, this would be the new January 6th. If, God forbid, somebody decided to go after Harris or Biden, it'd be their new January 6th. It'd be the top story at the start of the day, at the end of the day, every headline on every website, print publication, everywhere. I want to move on to the 2024 election directly now. Again, your film 2000 Mules, one of the best maybe the best documentary film when it comes to capturing the essence of what I believe was a stolen election, or at least one of the factors in what I believe was a stolen election in 2020. Where do you think we're at for 2024? Now, you said this in the first segment, and I agree. The Democrats can't play the exact same moves that they played in 2020. That doesn't mean they don't have other moves up their sleeve. Now, I got a bunch of stories about the ongoing lawsuits, clearing voter rolls of illegal votes. They're going to have cameras at all these mail-in drop box locations as well. Where do you think we're at right now as far as stopping the steal for the 2024 election?
I discuss this topic in the film, in Vindicating Trump, with Laura.
We have a slight technical difficulty right now with our guest Dinesh D'Souza. Hopefully he will be reconnecting any second now. What you're seeing on the screen is footage from the 2000 Mules documentary of the mail-in drop box ballots, where you have the same people stuffing dozens of ballots into a drop box, one single person. Sometimes they come back multiple times. Dinesh rejoins us now. We had a technical snafu, but we're back with you. You said you asked Laura Trump about this in the new film Vindicating Trump.
Yeah, I asked her about the fact that, and she said that the president has said, you know, it's just as important to guard the vote as it is to get out the vote. So we get into this stuff in the film. So yes, I think if we're looking for new forms of election interference in 2024, we have to look at the lawfare, which was itself a form of election interference. And the second point I'd make is these illegals who are being led into the country en masse, I initially used to think that this is based upon some faraway projection that, like, down the road, there will be an amnesty and they will be allowed to vote. And the Democrats are making long-term plans for their future. But no, I think the Democrats are making short-term plans for trying to figure out how to convert these illegals into votes that they can count in 2024. Now, I should say, I don't think that the problem is one of illegals on their own all deciding to vote. I don't think that's going to be the problem. I think what the problem is they're going to be handing out these voter registration cards by the hundreds of thousands, if not the millions. If Democrats can figure out a way to get the illegals just to check that box that say, I am a citizen, they then get added to the voter rolls. And then you've basically got voter rolls that are ripe for the cheating, so to speak. So, in other words, the idea is for a coordinated election fraud to vote on behalf of those illegals, not for the illegals to vote themselves.
Well, and you know, there's so many different forms, and it's really the Democrats, they are, I give them credit. And it's kind of like if you give a good criminal or a good bank robber credit. I give them credit. They know how to steal and rig for political power. And it's beyond just elections. I cover this ad nauseum in my show. When they rewrote the rules on how to get senators elected, if we went back to the originalist ideas that the state legislatures chose the senators, then the Democrats would never run the Senate, not even once, wouldn't even be close. They'd never have a majority. If we didn't let the Democrats gerrymander so that they can siphon all of these votes in the inner cities off into the counties that normally go red, the Democrats would never win the House, not even once. So there's all kinds of ways that the Democrats have cheated and rigged their way to political power when under the originalist interpretation of our political science, they would never win legitimacy. And so it seems like they just always find new ways of doing this. And I'm just curious. I mean, does any of this come up with Trump? Do you think the Republican Party establishment understands that, hey, this is a long-term game that the Democrats play, and you've let them gain all of this ground? If they get these illegal immigrants voting, that's it. They finally get their one-party rule.
This is correct. The Democrats have been cheating since the 19th century. I mean, you know, immigrants come off the boat, you know, in 1848. The Democrats are waiting to meet them at the pier. And they're basically like, hey, listen, here's a ballot. Sign your name right here. And here's a bottle of whiskey. Or go see my cousin Joe. He'll find you a place to live. Democrats have been trading benefits for votes for 150 years and more. Now, they escalated the cheating under COVID. And that's how they were able to steal the 2020 election. And they're very good at it. I think a good way to put it is that Republicans focus on the campaign. Democrats focus on the actual election. So Democrats pay attention to things like who opens the ballots. If there's a scrawling signature that may or may not match, who decides if it's valid? If there's a check on the box, but the crossing sign is outside the box, who decides if that vote should be counted or not? Democrats have pay expert, minute attention to these kinds of things. For Republicans, it's like, let's have a rally. Then we just kind of go behind the curtain, cast your vote, and then you're done. You did your civic duty. You're back to work tomorrow. Wait and see if your guy won. So I think Republican psychology is changing. We're realizing that this is how the game is played. This is how the other side does things. We've been quite naive about this all along. And while in earlier generations, perhaps the absentee vote was 3 or 4%, still significant, but not perhaps enough to change the outcome of an election that's not extremely close. Now we realize that this is a systematic strategy for the Democrats to cheat in every election. We have to stop them. We have to bust them. We have to bring this to light. And I think these efforts are underway, but we are a little late to the game. Even 2000 Mules it came out in 2022. The election was stolen in November of 2020.
Yeah, and I mean, it was actually nice to see Trump made that post. I think it was a week or two ago, the cease and desist post, a very strong message about anybody who plans to engage in election fraud or voter fraud. And so that was nice, I think, to see from Donald Trump. But the question is, will the Republicans realize how serious this is? I do think there's been a heightened sense of awareness since 2020, since your film 2000 Mules came out, and a lot of the other stuff that's going on. There's a lot of lawsuits. I don't know about you. My opinion is I don't really care much about the Kamala hype. I mean, even the debate, I think, is probably not even going to change the results of the upcoming election. I think it's going to be the results of these lawsuits. Can we get the illegal voters off the rolls? Can we stop people from stuffing ballots into mail-in drop boxes? Are we going to have voter verification in states like Pennsylvania where there's lawsuits on the books? I mean, I feel like it's going to be the rules that determine the outcome of who wins this election.
Yes, I agree with all that. And I think that there are ways to do all those things, by the way. Whether they are being done and done at the level that needs to be done, I'm not able to say. But I will add one thought. And it may seem slightly self-serving, but I think it is accurate. And that is this. You had mentioned earlier on, you know, a film like mine, Vindicating Trump, how do you get that film in front of independent voters, people who haven't made up their mind? And the short answer and the truthful answer of it is, I actually cannot do that, or I cannot do that very easily. Why? Because if I put the film in, even if it's in 2,000 theaters, the kind of people who are going to see it are going to be right-leaning. They're going to be Trumpsters, they're going to be Republicans, they're going to be MAGA. But there are people, super PACs, the Republican National Committee, they are in a position to take a film like this. And after its theatrical run, when it's out in DVD, when it's out in streaming, they are in a position to say, all right, we will take this film and we will drop it in the mailboxes, literal or digital, of swing voters. I can't do that, but they can. They actually have the addresses, both physical and digital, of these voters. They're targeting in all kinds of ways. But a film, I want to emphasize, is a type of messaging that's very different than a commercial. You see a commercial, I'm Donald Trump and I paid for that message, you're already kind of on your guard. But you see a film, you're kind of drawn into it. Oh, that's interesting. That's amusing. That's entertaining. This is a really good story. And at the end, you realize, oh, wow, I have a little different perspective than I had before.
You know, you could probably even trick some Democrats into watching it if you just had like some sort of a secondary release and you called it Killing Trump. Probably a bunch of Democrats would be racing to the theaters to go see it, and then they'd see it. I don't know, maybe it would change their mind. But that, if you named it that, I bet you liberals and Democrats would be waiting in line for the premiere. Dinesh D'Souza, again, folks, the new film Vindicating Trump. For more information, VindicatingTrump.com. Dinesh, I appreciate your time and your commentary today. I wish you the best of luck and the most success with your film. I'm looking forward to seeing it myself.
I really appreciate it.
There goes Dinesh D'Souza. Wow, great to talk to him. It's great to have him making documentary films like this, helping get people informed, awake, aware of the realities of our political nature. By the way, this was after the second assassination of Donald Trump. Listen to what Karine Jean-Pierre said during a press conference in clip 13.
Just to clarify, so you're saying that the president and vice president believe that former President Donald Trump should be toning down his rhetoric?
So I'll say this. President Biden has been clear-eyed about the threat that the former president represents to our democracy. He's been clear-eyed about that.
Wow. The Republicans need to tone down the rhetoric after the assassination of Donald Trump, and he's the biggest threat to our republic and our democracy. Wow. Yeah. That's just, they don't even hide it, folks. They just don't even hide it. Now, I don't know about you. I'm looking forward to getting a couple of the new T-shirts from AlexJonesStore.com. And I'll probably be wearing a couple on the air, wearing a couple out in public, seeing the response I get. You can get yours at AlexJonesStore.com. And by the way, more information on that and how to win that truck from Alex Jones himself.
This
bad boy is the number one seller at the alexjonesstore.com. Rebellion to Tyrants is obedience to God. Folks love it. I love it. I love wearing this out in public. And it also lets the globals to let us know we are standing up against them, and we know who they serve, and we know who we serve. The BlackRock globalist-controlled left, from academia to the media, is obsessed with bullying you into silence because their ideas are illegal and unpopular. And if you simply speak up, it's game over. So stop thinking it's just Alex Jones or Tucker Carlson or Donald Trump to save the world. It's all of us together. And wearing t-shirts in public that promote freedom is key. It doesn't just show our enemies we're awake. Other people see it and realize how popular freedom is. So ladies and gentlemen, it's a win-win. Get great shirts at thealexjonesstore.com. Fund the operations. We fight the tyrants at point blank range and meet like-minded people and spread the word in the third dimension. Take action now and don't let the left silence you. thealexjonesstore.com. Today's conspiracy theories, tomorrow's truths.
Some of these conspiracy theories have turned out to be true.
Which ones?
The Trump-Russia witch hunt, Jeffrey Epstein, JFK assassination, the misuse of the Patriot Act, the Iraq war, the weapons of mass destruction, the war in Ukraine, the bombing of the Nord Stream pipeline, the open border migration caravans, the climate change scam, chemtrails, and HARP, and 9/11 being an inside job, and the Internet of Things surveillance grid, and PFAs, and chemicals in the water turning everyone gay, and the 2020 election being stolen, and January 6th being filled with undercover feds, and Bilderberg, and Bohemian Grove, and global government, not to mention gain-of-function research, and the threat of China, and collapsing birth rates, and defund the police, and George Soros, and mail-in ballots, and big tech censorship, and disinformation agencies, and Obama's birth certificate, and probably some others I can't think of. I mean, so a few of them. I guess a couple of them have been true.
You will meet so many amazing people wearing the shirt. I see you'll get probably 50 compliments before you get one person screaming at you.
Donald J. Trump is now President of the United States.
But it's an adventure to wear any of these shirts, but particularly this one. Get this design and so many others. They're limited edition at thealexjonesstore.com. Keep us on air in our fight against the globalists. And I want to thank you so much for your support, because literally, when you call in thanking me on air, I say stop, because I'm thanking you. I love fighting the globalists. This is what I do. We've had such a huge effect together. So I want to thank you all for your past support. Encourage you now to go to thealexjonesstore.com and be sure to enter for the free truck and $10,000 and buy more product, support the broadcast, and get entered 5 or 10 times, depending on the day, each time you buy a product. This new initiative is so important to the future. So everybody, if you support what we're doing and want to get great shirts and ball caps at the same time, go to thealexjonesstore.com. And almost forgot, most t-shirts come in multiple colors.
All right, now my next guest, a former federal agent and investigator, to talk about the second assassination attempt into Donald Trump, the investigation or lack thereof. Maybe he'll weigh in on the latest breaking information on this Diddy arrest as well. Myron Gaines coming up in the next hour. More information and interviews on the other side.
Folks, Nerve Renew is in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, and this supplement is amazing for a number of different reasons. First of all, we know that prescription opioids and pain relievers end up making us feel groggy, cloudy of mind, and frankly, addicted after time. But with Nerve Renew, we have key natural ingredients. It's a nerve support formula designed specifically for peripheral neuropathy and nerve pain relief. So if you need help relieving your aches and pains and inflammation, and maybe even some nerve damage that you have from an injury or just working with your hands for years and years, Nerve Renew is the way to go. So by visiting InfoWarsStore.com and getting Nerve Renew under the InfoWars MD tab at the top of the website, not only are you investing in your own health, relieving your own pain in a natural, healthy, and safe way, but you are keeping InfoWars on the air. We know that InfoWars is under attack. Alex Jones is under attack. Freedom of speech is under attack. But you can fight to keep InfoWars on the air. So please go to InfoWarsStore.com right now and get Nerve Renew under the InfoWars MD tab at the top.
The InfoWars system is very simple. We tell you the truth about what's going on in the world, and we ask that you support us in exchange. If we don't tell you the truth, you probably won't support us. That's our only incentive. All we have is you, the InfoWars audience. And just like our information has to be good, or else we can't expect your support, well, our products have to be good, or we can't expect you to be returning customers. And everybody knows some of the bombshell, incredible, iconic supplements at InfoWarsStore.com, but What some InfoWars audience members don't know about is the InfoWars MD line of supplements. This is our premium line of supplements, and there's something for everybody here. This is the newest line of supplements from InfoWars, designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulations cater to your diverse needs. Only at InfoWarsStore.com.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
Give me liberty
or give me death.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at band.video.
All right, is Kamala Harris a robot? Notice these back-to-back clips of some things she says at the debate and during her interview. It's like she's a programmed robot. Clip three.
Remarkable how the answers were so similar. I don't want folks to just take a listen.
I grew up a middle class kid. I was raised as a middle class kid. Focusing on, again, the aspirations and the dreams. I believe in the ambition, the aspirations, the dreams of the American people. I was a career prosecutor for most of my career. I started my career as a prosecutor. And creating an opportunity economy where it's about investing in areas that really need a lot of work. I intend to create an opportunity economy. Well, I'm obviously not Joe Biden. Clearly, I am not Joe Biden. That the vast majority of us as Americans have so much more in common than what separates us. We all have so much more in common than what separates us.
Who's writing these scripts for Kamala Harris? It's certainly not her. By the way, she's stolen another Trump policy. Listen to what she says at a rally, another Trump policy she steals here in clip four.
I will also make sure good paying jobs are available to all Americans, not just those with college degrees.
That's familiar.
For far too long, our nation has encouraged only one path to success, a four-year college degree. Our nation needs to recognize the value of other paths, additional paths, such as apprenticeships and technical programs.
Yeah, most people realized that a long time ago.
So as president, I will get rid of the unnecessary degree requirements for federal jobs.
Interesting.
To increase jobs for folks without a four-year degree, understanding that requiring a certain degree does not necessarily talk about one's skills.
Skills. Remember that word, skills.
And that word I will challenge the private sector to do the same.
It's a nice accent she has there, by the way, or lack thereof. Now, all you have to do is go back to June of 2020. That's a Trump policy, ladies and gentlemen. Here's a couple headlines. Executive order from Trump emphasizes skills over degrees for federal jobs. Trump's new executive order puts skills over degrees in federal hiring. I mean, I can go on. There's, you know, hundreds of headlines. It's another stolen Trump policy. So she's a thief. Kamala Harris, the political thief. Amazing. Maybe that's why you can't find a single Kamala Harris supporter anywhere you go. Don't take my word for it. This was I believe it was MSNBC. We'll look at the clip. They couldn't find any Harris, but they said they looked under every rock. And how did it go in clip 11?
Had like so much fun. But what was really incredible is in every single restaurant, of the people willing to talk to us, we could only find one Harris supporter in every restaurant. And we left no stone unturned. I approached every single person.
That was CBS. No stone unturned. They could only find one person of the people that were willing to talk to us. My guess is, I mean, what side of the political aisle kind of has the most disdain for the mainstream media at this point? It would be the right. So those people probably aren't voting for Harris either. I'm yet to see a single Harris or Walls t-shirt. I'm yet to see a single Harris or Walls hat. Can't even go out in public without seeing a Trump hat or a Trump shirt. I don't know if you have the same experience. I mean, everywhere I go, it doesn't matter. It's a concert, ball game, restaurant, grocery store, everywhere I go. And that's in liberal Austin.
So how's it going to go, ladies and gentlemen, if they declare Kamala Harris the winner? Do you think anybody's going to believe that? I don't. And it's not going to be like 2020 when we have no clue, we get blindsided by it, and then maybe like 20 to 30% of the people think it was stolen. It's going to be like 40, 50, 60% of people maybe don't believe Kamala Harris won. I mean, I don't even know any Harris supporters, genuinely. I don't. You can't even find one, according to CBS. All right, my guest, Myron Gaines, joins us next on the second Trump assassination attempt, the Diddy arrest, and more.
Supplements are the second fastest growing industry in America over the last few decades. AI is now outstripped it. And that's because people continue to learn how amazing the compounds are that Mother Nature gives us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, not all supplements are created equal. InfoWars MD line, more than 15 products, are all the very best you're going to find at extremely low prices. Take our CBD oil, gummies, and 1,000 milligram tincture. We private label from a top company. They sell it retail for double what we sell it for. Does that give you an idea how amazing these products are and how low the prices are? Just get InfoWars MD CBD, test it out, see how great it is, and then I know you're going to want the other products like our ashwagandha, like our super green food, like our 95% curcuminoid, turmeric 95. They're all available under the InfoWars MD line at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you for your support. This keeps us on air. Plus, these are game-changing products. Get yours today.
In the darkness of censorship, Owen Schroyer is the light. This is the War Room. Watch it live right now at AmericanElection.News.
All right, my next guest, Myron Gaines, from the popular Fresh and Fit podcast and so much more. He's been a federal agent, federal investigator, in charge of security. He's won awards for his work. I won't go into his bio. I'd rather get his take on this breaking news. Myron Gaines joins me now. All right, Myron, let's start with the second assassination attempt. I mean, hell, we could go back to the first where we don't even have answers, and now there's already a second and we're looking for answers. Let's just get your take on what we know, what we don't know, what you think is going on with the second assassination attempt, and then if you want to kind of get into your expertise about how this investigation is going to go, we can lean into that as well. Myron Gaines.
Yeah, sure. So to kind of sum up everything, around 1:30 p.m. on that day, you know, a Secret Service agent encountered this guy, saw what seemed to be a rifle barrel sticking out of a bush and or fence line, and he opened fire on the individual. The guy ran away. He was, you know, they caught him about 45 minutes later up on Interstate Highway 95. And for those that aren't familiar with South Florida, you know, Interstate 95 goes from Coral Gables all the way up to, obviously, you know, the Northeast. I think Vermont, if I'm not mistaken, it ends. But it goes up through the West Palm Beach area. So, and that's kind of where this whole incident occurred. And this guy ended up getting caught by law enforcement at gunpoint. They did a traffic stop, took him into custody. After there was a press conference with the FBI, the sheriff's office, the district attorney, et cetera, it looked like what they probably did was, which, well, actually, I know for a fact now, they put state charges on him in first, right, to kind of just keep him in custody. And then I predicted, and it's come to fruition now, that within 24 to 72 hours, the FBI would file a criminal complaint. And they ended up doing that. They charged him with a felon in possession of a firearm and then obliterated, having a firearm that has obliterated serial number, which are both federal offenses. And I predict that, you know, there's going to be some superseding an indictment later on with more charges after the fact. But I'm pretty confident at this point he's more than likely going to be, if he hasn't already been transferred over to U.S. Marshal custody, and the case is going to go federal. But that's kind of like a bird's eye view of what went down.
Well, speaking of the states versus the feds, I'd like for you to kind of expand on that. You know, Ron DeSantis basically came out and said, we don't trust the federal investigation. We'll do our own investigation. But what kind of teeth can that possibly have if the feds are claiming that they're going to have jurisdiction here?
Well, you know, obviously, what he's probably going to do is he's going to mobilize the federal, the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, and FDLE, which is, think of it as like the state equivalent to an FBI, right? When, you know, you got the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, Tennessee has the same thing, where they have their own state level special agents that do criminal investigations. I mean, they can, they're obviously going to open up a case and do an independent investigation, but as far as like leading the case and having the prosecutor and pushing this thing through a court is probably going to be the feds that end up doing it. And the reason why they typically defer to the federal government whenever they do a criminal case like this is because the guy's going to do significantly more time. He's not going to get out on parole or on bond more than likely. He's going to do 80-90% of his time if he's convicted of these crimes. So that's typically why they defer to the feds. I think in this situation, you know, he's probably going to end up doing a decent amount of time because he does have a criminal history and these are fairly serious gun charges that they got him for. But obviously, if I was the case agent in this case and I was, you know, the FBI guy running this case, who it looks to be a guy named Mark A. Thomas here reading this complaint, you know, I'd be angling to try to figure out, hey, who else assisted you with this? You know, more than likely, you probably didn't do this alone. Did you have other co-conspirators, et cetera? And if that means me even getting the prosecutor, the AUSA, to give this guy maybe, you know, a deal of some kind so that we can identify other co-conspirators so this doesn't happen again, I think that would be very important. But for me, reading this criminal complaint, it seems to me as he more than likely probably lawyered up and said, I'm not going to talk to anybody because it's kind of a bare bones affidavit. They pretty much just hit him with a standard, you know, felon in possession firearm charge. And there's nothing in here as far as like what statements he might have made to law enforcement, which I'm not surprised that he probably lawyered up right at the beginning here.
Well, I'd like to get more into that. But what about the charge? I mean, the lack of charges. I mean, normally the federal angle here is overcharge dramatically and try to cut a deal. And it seems like that wasn't the maneuver here.
Yeah. So I can definitely speak to that. So whenever you have a case like this where a crime happened, right, or is happening or occurring, what a lot of people don't know is that the feds actually don't have as much arrest discretion as people think they do. When you're a federal agent, right, whether you work for DEA, FBI, ATF, et cetera, we all have to go through something called the United States Attorney's Office to get prosecution, the federal prosecutor's office. You can't arrest somebody and put them into custody until you got a green light from an AUSA that's going to take the case and prosecute it. And the reason why is because United States Attorney's offices have a lot of discretion which cases they take and which ones they don't take. In contrast to the state where they're taking everything from a disorderly conduct, DUI, domestic violence, all the way up to capital murder, right? So the state a lot of the times takes way more cases on than the feds. That's why local police officers, they catch you and they, you know, driving with drugs in your car or driving under the influence, et cetera, they don't need to call a prosecutor. They just arrest you right then and there, take you to the county jail, write up a report and send it to the DA later. This is why the state cases typically tend to be backed up and backlogged and, you know, the cases take so long. But at the federal level, it's a much more streamlined and efficient approach because there aren't as many cases going through because the AUSAs are so selective. So when you're a federal agent, there's two main ways to get someone charged with a crime, either via a criminal complaint, which is supported by an affidavit, as we can see here, or an indictment through a grand jury where you go to a grand jury testify and then you're indicted after the fact and an arrest warrant is filed for you. But in this case, they did a criminal complaint because a criminal complaint is a fast track to kind of get someone into federal custody. Now, typically when you do a criminal complaint, you're going to use easy charges just to establish probable cause, right? Get them into federal custody. Then you can work with your AUSA and come with a formal indictment with a more stacked charge list on the indictment. So I predict that they did this just to kind of get him into federal custody, get him into the system. Now he's being federally charged. He's being held by the marshals. Now me and the AUSA can work together to figure out how we're going to go ahead and indict this thing because they have roughly 10 to 14 days in the Southern District of Florida to indict after a criminal complaint has been filed, and they can add charges to it in that indictment in 14 days, or they could let the case kind of continue on and then do a superseding indictment after the fact and add more charges. But typically, when I see stuff like this, this is merely just to get them in, get them arrested, get them into the system, and then they can stack the charges later because at the federal level, you need quite a bit to because the AUSAs are very selective on which case they're going to take. If you're going to charge someone, they don't just want probable cause. They want it where it's like pretty much beyond a reasonable doubt at that point. They don't indict unless they know they're going to win at trial. This is why the feds have such a high success rate.
Or they overcharge and they get you to take a plea. Well, so in other words, you do expect there to be more charges because I see this out of the gates and I'm like, man, there were people that just walked into the Capitol on January 6th that had much more severe charges than this. They didn't even have a firearm. Okay, so that makes sense. Any idea of what type of charges he might face then?
Obviously we got the firearms charges, et cetera. I think they're going to probably talk to him and try to figure out if there are other conspirators involved, maybe try to cut him a deal. We can see an 18 USC 371, which is a conspiracy charge for him and anyone else that might be involved. I'm certain that they're probably doing search warrants at his house and all of his different residences in Hawaii, North Carolina, et cetera. If they find anything there that they could charge him with, they're going to hit him with that. They're going to go through his phones and everything else. So I anticipate that they're going to do – because the thing is this. The FBI has a lot of egg on their face right now. They've taken a lot of L's the past couple of years. You know, famous but incompetent is what I call them. And they're going to try to make an example of this guy. Obviously, the Matthew Crooks case has kind of been embarrassing for them because they haven't been able to find a motive. They haven't been able to see if he had any co-conspirators because obviously the guy died. But now they have an actual living defendant. So I think that they're going to do everything in their power to throw the book at this guy and kind of make an example of him because they just have so much egg on their face at this point.
How fast do you expect this to move? You're saying you think he's already deciding not to cooperate. He's lawyered up. We don't have too much information on that. I'm sure they'll offer him a proffer session, anything they can to try to get information out of this guy. But
I think would be a hard thing to do if they did that, because even though it would suck, he wouldn't get as much time and he'd be able to confess the crimes that he wouldn't be charged for. If we can identify other co-conspirators in this situation, I think that would be a lot more important so this doesn't happen again to Trump.
Well, I completely agree. And I mean, either way, I would imagine when all the charges come down, he's got to be facing close to life, especially considering his priors, which we can get into here as well. In fact, let's actually get into that now, because there is kind of some precedent and some history where the feds will capture a guy and then cut a deal with him to become an informant or an asset of some shape, size, or form. And basically he gets released. I mean, when you see this guy's priors and he's released and traveling to Ukraine, what goes through your mind?
Yeah, I mean, I have his criminal charges here. It looks like on December 20th, 2002, he's convicted in Greensboro, North Carolina, of possession of a weapon of mass destruction. And then in 2010, he was convicted of multiple counts of possession of stolen goods in violation of whatever law North Carolina statutes are here. And he said, so he served 39 months in one, and he served, it looks like maybe up to 59 months in another. I mean, these crimes were, you know, a while ago, but regardless, the guy's, you know, has a lengthy criminal history, and then he's been convicted of some pretty serious felonies. And then him going over to Ukraine and trying to be a mercenary, recruit Afghanis to fight. The guy clearly isn't all the way there mentally. And he's definitely a prohibited person from having firearms because there's nine types of people that are considered prohibited persons under the federal statutes when it comes to gun laws. And him being a felon and more than likely probably has a mental issue as well are two of the things that he probably will qualify under.
How fast do you expect this to move? Are we going to be waiting around for months? Are we going to get information before the election? What do you think the velocity of this case or information might be?
No, good question. Well, we know that they're going to indict him probably within the next 2 weeks. So I would definitely stay tuned, look, go on Pacer, Southern District of Florida, see what they charge him with in the indictment, because that's going to be the more formal thing. Right now, he's just being held on a criminal complaint. But if it'd be interesting to see if they get other charges added on to that indictment. And, you know, since we have a defendant that's alive, you know, I don't think the FBI is going to be as forthcoming as to the investigation and what's going on. With Matthew Crooks, they were able to be somewhat transparent because you had a dead defendant. So, you know, they were able to kind of release information here and there. But with someone like this who's still alive, they're trying to identify a co-conspirator, see if anyone else put them up to it, et cetera. They might not be as forthcoming with what's going on. But I think the thing that we can definitely look forward to within the next couple of weeks is we need to look at this indictment, see what if they upgraded the charges, hit him with anything else, and kind of follow the case from there. So I hope they keep us appraised, but, you know, they might not.
Now, if you were involved in, let's say, an arrest or an investigation or a questioning where a guy had had destroyed a serial number on a gun, what is kind of what is like the list of potentials? What goes through the federal agent's head when you see that?
So, and I'm not surprised. So what? Okay. So anytime a gun is seized at the scene, I can kind of describe this. What ends up happening is you take that firearm and you seize it and you turn it over to the Bureau of Tobacco, Alcohol, Firearms, and Explosives (ATF), and they're going to do something called an e-trace. And an e-trace is where they run the serial number. And they're able to figure out who first purchased that gun. So if a gun was used in a crime, they're able to kind of figure out who was the original purchaser of that gun and then work their way backwards. So ATF agents will go to that individual. Hey, look, this gun was found at a crime scene. Where is it? And then that individual is going to say either A, look, I sold it to XYZ. I got a bill of sale. Or, oh, I know that person. He's a friend of mine or whatever. And then they can kind of work it back and, you know, kind of do the investigation that way. So since the firearm's serial number was obliterated, you know, obviously that's a big red flag. This is something that you typically deal with whenever you're dealing with like drug traffickers, gang members, etc. They want guns that have serial numbers that are scratched out so they can go ahead and commit their crimes and do what they got to do. It's harder to trace. But you can do an e-trace with partial numbers and still figure out who was the original purchaser of that gun and work your way backwards. So I assume that's probably why they hit him with this, is because they saw the obliterated serial number and they're like, fuck that, we're going to throw the book at this guy. And they hit him with that charge. But they can still, it might take a little bit more time, but excuse me, the ATF can still do an e-trace off a partial serial number. It's just going to take more time.
Now, what about the potential that this gun came from, let's say, a foreign country? What happens then?
That, I think, might be a little less likely because guns are just so easy to acquire in the United States, depending on what state you're in. But it is possible they definitely could have been a foreign weapon. But I predict it was probably bought and purchased in the United States at some point. It just, you know, we just got to figure out where. And hopefully they can do the e-trace and figure out where and kind of work their way backwards and see how this gun got into this guy's possession. Because he shouldn't have them, because he's a felon and he knows better.
So with an obliterated serial number, I mean, you said with partial numbers, is there any other way? I mean, even if it's obliterated, how can they find partial numbers? Or if there's no way to get any numbers out of it, is there still any way to get, you know, any information on the background of the actual firearm?
Yeah. So there are a lot of gun makes actually do this, kind of like where they have hidden VIN numbers in vehicles. A lot of guns, what they'll do is they'll put a serial number on the top of the firearm, but they'll also put serial numbers in other places of the firearm should something like this happens where you have criminals trying to obliterate the serial number. So depending on that gun, if I'm not mistaken, it was an SKS or something like that. Depending on the year it was made, et cetera, the ATF can go ahead and contact the make of that gun. A lot of these guys are very, you know, aware and know where to look for. There could be a backup serial number somewhere on that weapon that they can use and still be able to trace the gun.
All right. Aside from kind of the investigation angles and obviously still more questions, the fact that the guy's alive is, well, it's probably good news. Maybe we can get some answers if he survives prison, but I guess that's another issue. What do you think about the potential error? Because to me, I think it's obvious that Donald Trump either has a mole in his inner circle or there is a leaker in one of these federal agencies, and that's how this individual was informed to go make a sniper's nest outside of the 6th Green.
Yeah, the thing that concerns me, and I'll read it right from the complaint for you, it says, agents requested T-Mobile on an emergency basis to provide law enforcement information pertaining to Roost's mobile phone usage. Those records indicate that Roost's mobile phone was located in the vicinity of the area along the tree line described above from approximately 1:59 a.m. until approximately 1:31 p.m. on September 15, 2024. So that right there is pretty shocking and alarming. The guy pretty much sat there since 2 o'clock in the morning waiting. So how did he know that almost a day prior that Trump was going to be there golfing? That's something that definitely needs to be found and figured out how the hell he knew that. So that's very alarming to me from reading that he pretty much sat there in nighttime and slept there and was waiting around.
What kind of information can we get from the phone? I mean, do we know anything more about the phone encrypted messaging services? Because, I mean, I doubt it would be so simple that he has a message in his phone that says, hey, Trump's going to be golfing and they can just go from there. I mean, I doubt it would be that simple, but I mean, how do they go about that investigation? Emails? I mean, how else do they look into this?
So there's multiple ways to exploit a telephone, okay? I'll go over them real quick. You can do something called a ping warrant, which will go ahead and give you the location of the device. You can do a Title III intercept where you're actually seeing and hearing real-time communication that comes through, whether it's text message or phone calls. You have a pen register, a.k.a. a trap and trace, which kind of documents all of the contact that's being done with that phone, different people texting or and or calling. It doesn't give you the content of what's being done, but it'll show you who's contacting the individual, which is really useful to identify co-conspirators. Their cell site location, where you can figure out where the phone was at a certain period of time, which is what I'm assuming they did here in this affidavit to figure out where that phone was, because all of these phones have geolocation data. And that's how they were able to figure out that he was there since 2 o'clock in the morning that same day. But as far as them being able to get into the phone and get encrypted messages from, let's say, a WhatsApp, a Telegram, or a Signal, or one of these encrypted type apps, you're going to have to be able to get into the phone to actually do it, which you know, if they have the passcode, that's easy to do. But if you don't have the passcode, that's where it becomes a little bit more difficult because, and I don't want to get too much in the weeds here unless you want me to, but when you have a cell phone, right, and it has a passcode on it, and you don't know the passcode, you have to use something called a CellBrite. And a CellBrite is technology that allows you to kind of break the code for the phone surreptitiously without making the phone lock, if that makes sense. So what ends up happening is you plug it into the CellBrite and it starts analyzing the code and does it in a way where it's not invasive to lock the phone. Because as you guys know, many phones have this thing where if you try 10 times and you fail, it locks the phone, wipes everything. So the CellBrite's able to do this in a way where it doesn't activate that trigger on a lot of phones. The problem, though, with that is every phone is different. Every model is different. Every brand is different. So different phones have different times and timelines where they can be cracked. So, and I can tell you, you know, from my experience, training experience from before, iPhones are the worst and some of the hardest to crack, especially if there's a code on it. And the longer the code, the newer the phone, the harder a lot of times it is to break the code. So hopefully, I'm assuming they were able to get the code to some degree, open up the phone, then they can actually look at the messages and see what's going on because the information that's on the device right then and there is going to be different than what you might intercept through some other means.
So let's assume at some point in time they are able to get into the phone. It might take some time. What I mean, when or will we get any information on that? I mean, I don't know. Again, I doubt he'd be dumb enough to have messages sitting there that just say, hey, Trump's going to be at the golf course and they can track and trace that. I doubt it would be that dumb. I would think he's probably using some form of encrypted messaging. But let's say, okay, the process goes through. They can get into the phone. What's the next process? How long does this take?
So if you're actually able to get into the phone, and this is actually why in the Crooks case, why they had to send the phone all the way over to Quantico to get it broken because it had a code on it and they were able to crack it within a couple of days. But that's what the issue was in that situation. So it depends on the phone. But assuming they have the code, literally takes a few seconds to extract the phone because what they're going to do is they're going to do what's called a cell phone dump. So if they don't have a code, they can go ahead, plug it into the CellBrite. CellBrite extracts all of the data out of it, and then it creates this nice little report for you that has everything nice and organized. It says text messages, encrypted apps, et cetera. And then you can go ahead and look at the report and analyze everything there in a more easy fashion. Or you can have the device right there in front of you and kind of go through it that way as well. That's another way to do it. But if they have the CellBrite and they have the code, which they're going to have a CellBrite, literally could take a few seconds to dump the phone, depending on how much data is on it.
All right, my guest, Myron Gaines, again, he's won awards for his work with the federal agencies doing investigations and security, and that's why I wanted to have him on today. Now this might be putting the cart before the horse, but let's kind of look at a potential here. If it comes out that there are international, let's say, interests involved with this guy, beyond just what we have from social media and his involvement with Ukraine, let's say there's international contacts even, where does the investigation go then, or where do the charges go then?
Well, interestingly enough, reading through this affidavit, the affiant that wrote this is a guy named Mark A. Thomas, and he's an agent out of the Miami's field office, West Palm Beach Resident Agency, which, you know, a resident agency is going to be, think of it as like a satellite office that works underneath a main office. So the big office is in Miami where the special agent in charge sits, and then there's satellite offices that are smaller, 10 to 20 agents, you know, in Fort Myers, West Palm Beach, Fort Lauderdale, et cetera. So this guy's out of the West Palm Beach office, and he's a part of the JTTF, which stands for Joint Terrorism Task Force. So, you know, and that's probably not a mistake why he got put on there. And it's probably for this precise reason that you mentioned, hey, we know that this guy has foreign links. We know that this guy might be a foreign operative. Let's figure out what his connections are and make sure this guy isn't a spy or anything else like that. So, the fact that they put a JTTF agent on this also makes me, you know, speculate that there's a national security angle here that they're trying to investigate, which would make sense why they're just hitting him with a simple gun charge for now and then potentially trying to expand it into something else later on with the indictment.
And by the way, this story broke today, too. Suspected Trump assassin flagged by U.S. government during return from Ukraine, but the Department of Homeland Security refused to look into it. So, I mean, you're looking at a potential stand down here, but he was on the map, folks. The fact that he was even able to get near Trump, I think, is a story in and of itself. Myron Gaines is my guest. We got a break here. I want to get into the Diddy arrests coming up next with our guest.
I got a lot.
Shut up. Supplements are the second fastest growing industry in America over the last few decades. AI is now outstripped it. And that's because people continue to learn how amazing the compounds are that Mother Nature gives us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, not all supplements are created equal. InfoWars MD line, more than 15 products, are all the very best you're going to find at extremely low prices. Take our CBD oil, gummies, and 1,000 milligram tincture. We private label from a top company. They sell it retail for double what we sell it for. Does that give you an idea how amazing these products are and how low the prices are? Just get InfoWars MD CBD, test it out, see how great it is, and then I know you're going to want the other products like our ashwagandha, like our super green food, like our 95% curcuminoid, turmeric 95. They're all available under the InfoWars MD line at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you for your support. This keeps us on air. Plus, these are game-changing products. Get yours today.
America is waking up to the sad and painful fact that we've been under a multinational, globalist, deep state, intelligence agency, controlled coup for decades in this country. They didn't have full control 30, 40 years ago, but they're really attempting full control now, and that's where we are. And InfoWars has engaged in the best long-term analysis of the enemy operation and predicted the resistance movement would form against it and the fact that we would have major successes against the enemy, but they would then double, triple, quadruple down. That's where we are now. So it's more important than ever that InfoWars stay on the air. I just want to thank you all for your support and spreading the word. It's more important than ever that we get funding. We're trying to make it easier for you to fund us by simply going to InfoWarsStore.com and getting great products that enrich you and your family's lives. I want to just encourage you all to not forget that without you, we won't be here. So please go to InfoWarsStore.com today, and I thank you.
Turmeric has been used as a medicine for thousands of years to treat digestive disorders, respiratory problems, arthritis, and depression. It has strong anti-cancer, anti-diabetic, antimicrobial, and antioxidant properties, and is one of the most effective anti-inflammatory medications available. The powerful Bodies formula at InfoWarsStore.com includes 95% curcuminoids, Boswellia serrata extract, organic sage leaf, organic lemon balm leaf, organic thyme leaf, and piperine from black pepper. Bodies is arguably the best turmeric formula available. Get it now. Support free speech and support the InfoWar at InfoWarsStore.com. First of all, we want to avoid the middle of the grocery store and stick to whole foods, real food. But these days, even the real food is short of its nutrient potential. And this is why it's important to take a vitamin mineral supplement every day. According to studies, regular multivitamin mineral supplement use reduces the risk of cancer and cardiovascular disease. Perhaps supplements aren't important to you, but in today's upside-down world, a daily vitamin mineral supplement is a must, and we have one of the best. Support your health and support the InfoWar. Get your vitamin mineral fusion today at InfoWarsStore.com.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
In a world of shadows, one man brings the light. Your host, Owen Schroyer.
All right, this Diddy case was already crazy. Not just for the social aspect and the weird videos and then the comments made on podcasts by people like Cat Williams and other stuff. But now Diddy has been arrested, indicted, and there's some breaking news here. I want to get Myron's take on all of this. Let me just go down a few of these headlines. Diddy indictment released, alleges pervasive abuse. in these indictments. Sean Diddy Combs arrest live updates. Freak offs at center of sex trafficking racketeering charges. I think we may have seen some aftermath of some of those freak offs and some awkward videos with Usher. Sean Diddy Combs arrested. P. Diddy charged with racketeering, conspiracy, sex trafficking by force in New York City. Now, he was desperate to get bailed out. Diddy offers $50 million in bail money to get out. And apparently he was going to have to post some of his homes up here in order to do this as collateral. Nonetheless, though, he's been rejected bail and remains in jail right now. So, Myron Gaines here. All right. There's really so much to unpack here. There's the social aspect of Diddy that now seems to have a little more impact, let's say. And then there is the indictments and the arrest. So just try to unpack all of this for us.
Yeah, sure. So interestingly enough, this case was handled by Homeland Security Investigations, HSI New York, who I you know, obviously I know some guys up there. I was an HSI agent myself. So this literally was my former agency that did this investigation. They also did the R. Kelly case, which kind of mirrors this investigation as well. You know, so I'm very familiar with the details, et cetera. So, and how they kind of run their sex trafficking cases. I think it's important for the audience to understand in this situation, we got crimes that are historical. And whenever you have crimes that are historical, when you read through the indictment, it looks like this kind of started within 2008 and then continuing on. A lot of these crimes are kind of past the statute of limitations. So what they had to do to be able to charge him and bring these crimes in was they had to charge him under racketeering, the RICO Act, right? So, and this is a thing, something that was created back in the 1970s, you know, to go after La Cosa Nostra and organized crime, where leaders of organizations would be in insulated positions where it was very difficult to get after them because people wouldn't want to testify against them. So instead of charging one individual, what you do is you charge the entire organization and you look at them as a criminal enterprise. And what that allows them to do is it allows them to bring in crimes that might have been past the statute of limitations, et cetera, because all they need to describe is like, hey, look, this organization, they're participating in a bunch of different crimes, a pattern of racketeering behavior, and there's a bunch of different crimes that fall under racketeering, whether it's drug trafficking, sex trafficking, extortion, crimes of violence, kidnapping, murder, you know, you name it, car theft. There's a bunch of different crimes that fall into this racketeering, and it's typically a tool that's used for big gangs, the mafia, et cetera. So in this case, they're using it against Diddy to bring in these crimes that came all the way from 2008. We're looking at almost 20 years ago. So that's kind of how they were able to kind of bring this in. And obviously, they have a lot of witnesses. And I also said this before. Some people might not know this, but Diddy's team has been in contact with the Department of Justice, the Southern District of New York, to be specific here, about they knew that an indictment was going to come down because the grand jury has been convened now for a few months, bringing in witnesses to testify, et cetera. So his legal team was aware of this. The reason why he even was in New York at the time was because he knew that more than likely he was going to be indicted any day and that he would cooperate and, you know, surrender and kind of make this, you know, a quick and smooth transition. When he was traveling before being indicted, he was, his legal team was letting them know. And it kind of set everything up right now where that's why he was able to come with this entire bail package or proposal ready to go on the day that he got arrested. Obviously, he got denied. But I do predict that he will get out on bond at some point here because obviously this is an extraordinary package to make, putting out quite a bit of money, assets, et cetera. You know, his legal team's obviously going to argue like, look, we were cooperative with you guys. We told you everything that we were going to do, et cetera. And the big thing when it comes to bond hearings is there's two main parameters. The first one is the individual flight risk, which his legal team is going to argue and say, no, he's not, because we told you guys about this. He surrendered his passport, et cetera. He has, you know, a vested interest in staying in the United States. And then the second thing they're going to say is he a danger to the community? Now, with that, his legal team is going to have to fight and say, look, I know that these charges allege that he's violent and he did X, Y, Z, but he's not involved in that anymore. Or this is not true of him. These are all allegations. These people that made these allegations against him are, you know, have financial incentives. That's what they're going to argue in court. But those are two things that they're going to have to argue to try to get him out. Obviously, it's an initial appearance. It was a magistrate judge. So I predict once this goes to the district judge, because when you get arrested and you're brought in front of a judge, a lot of times it's going to be the magistrate first. Then you'll be brought in front of the district judge after you've had your initial appearance. He might reconsider and allow him to get out on bond with probably some strict regulations.
How long would you anticipate that process would take?
He'll probably have a bond hearing within the next couple of days or week or so, another bond hearing.
What does that say, then, that he was willing to put up so much for bail if it's just, we're talking a couple days in jail? I mean, I thought Diddy was hard.
Yeah, you know, everyone is, people are tough until they spend a night in jail, right? So I remember I used to do this when I was an agent myself. Like, if someone didn't want to cooperate, I'd be like, all right, cool, no problem. I'd drop them off at the jail. I'd come back like a week later. I'd be like, hey, look, you want to cooperate now? And a lot of times they'd be like, yeah, fuck that. This sucks. So jail definitely changes people. People don't want to be in there. Then federal jail definitely sucks. So he's probably being held in Manhattan or at this point, or Brooklyn, one of the two. So, you know, I think him and his legal team are going to do everything in their power to get him out on bond so he can fight this case from behind bars.
Well, and my guess is, too, that they probably have him in some form of solitary away from General, which he probably would like. I don't think he wants to be anywhere near General either. But either way, it's not going to be a good experience for him. But you know, just kind of getting the social aspect quickly. Don't you find that funny? You know, he's a gangster rapper, but he can't even handle a couple of nights in jail, apparently.
Yeah. I mean, and it's tough because a lot of these jails, right? They're dominated by gangs. So like, if you're not like affiliated or associated with one, it's kind of tough to make your way through. So, he might've been a tough guy in the music industry, but you know, being in prison with hardened gang members that are Bloods, Crips, you know, Latin Kings, gangster disciples, et cetera, it's going to be tough for him. So yeah, he's definitely more than likely in protective custody. And him and his legal team are going to do everything in their power to get him out on bond, so he doesn't have to fight this case from behind bars. Now, if he does have to do that, behind bars pending the trial, he's probably going to push for a speedy trial, which means that the government's got to kind of get their stuff together, ready to go immediately for trial.
Well, and it'll be interesting. That'll be, I guess, the next shoe to drop will be, can he get out in bond when this does get to the district judge? And but, you know, just to kind of take a step back before I get into these next questions, I mean, what can you talk about the process that's gotten us to this point? Because Diddy has been a story really in the last year or so with a lot of these charges, a lot of these allegations, grand juries, whatever. There have been stuff kind of in the social world about Diddy for years, but it's not really resulted in anything serious. But now kind of we're here. How did we get to this point where there's been a lot of things talked about? Then there's been allegations, and now he's actually going through the legal process.
Yeah, you know, obviously this is a long-term case. I'm actually going through his bail package right now, and it's kind of like I said, like you could see here his lawyers put emails showing that, you know, Diddy was traveling, and they were letting the government know, hey, look, he's going to be traveling on this day, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. So obviously they're going to use that to fortify their argument that he's not a flight risk and that we've been cooperating with them from the beginning. But as far as the investigation goes, this is going to be a testimony heavy investigation. What I mean by that is they're going to bring in the witnesses. You know, they're going to have these witnesses testify against him. Hey, look, he did this to me in this year. He did this to me. And the strength of all these different witnesses saying the same thing or corroborating each other's experiences is what's going to be the main point of evidence here. I predict that they have anywhere between 5 to 30 different witnesses that will probably be able to testify against Diddy in different times and periods. And the fact that all of them are going to have similar stories and how they were treated is going to strengthen each different witness's testimony and their credibility.
Yeah.
So this is definitely going to be a witness testimony heavy dependent case, which is why they had to use the racketeering statutes, because it's historical in nature and they want to be able to bring in all those crimes from 2008.
Well, and there's so many different ways this can go depending on strategy coming from the state as well as the defense. I mean, I don't know how much motivation the judge has as far as what, you know, what results he's looking for here. But I mean, if he's looking for results, then he might be inclined to keep Diddy in there and think, you know, the longer he stays in there, the better result we're going to get. You know, that time will tell. And then, you know, there's also cases, and this comes from the defense's perspective, where they might not want witnesses to go up on the stand for reason X, Y, or Z. They might try to make some deal to stop it from having this public spectacle. And so, again, that is kind of the time we'll tell stuff. But let's kind of get into the social aspect of this now. Or perhaps before we get into the social aspect, I guess I'd ask you this first. is this the kind of situation where can Diddy offer information for favorable treatment?
Good question. When you're someone like a Diddy, right, you're going to be what's considered the file title, right? And anytime you do an investigation, you're typically going to have your case titled as your main target at all, right? And same thing with the AUSA's office, is going to be USA versus XY, you know, Sean Combs et al., you know, for any other co-conspirators, et cetera. So he would have to give up a dirty cop, a dirty agent, a dirty judge, a dirty politician, maybe someone else in the music industry that has some type of stature for him to be able to not necessarily be feel the full brunt of these charges, because he is their main target. So for him to cooperate and give somebody else up, it'd have to be worthwhile for the government to cut him a deal.
Well, a lot of people are looking at some of these charges and allegations and basically saying he was like some form of a domestic Epstein type, getting blackmail on people, you know, maybe in the media world, maybe more specifically the rap world. I mean, that's kind of what some of these allegations are alluding to. And then that's what some of the kind of follow-up accusations in the media have alluded to. I mean, I don't know. I mean, how does that potentially play into this? If that is the case,
that his image, you mean, as far as like,
well, let's just say he does happen to have blackmail on people because of the parties that he had and the freak offs or God knows what else.
Yeah, if he has blackmail on like someone that's like, you know, of some kind of stature, because the thing is with the federal government, right? And this is a dirty little secret, like they like to go after famous big individuals that are untouchable, right? Like a Diddy or the Mafia, John Gotti, Paul Costello. Like they like to do that, because especially the Southern District of New York. Keep in mind that this district that's prosecuting Diddy is famous for going after some of the biggest criminal organizations and biggest crooks in the country. It's one of the most aggressive AUSA's offices in the nation. So they make their career. A lot of these AUSAs make their careers and are able to go ahead and get other jobs in the private sector off of being an AUSA at the Southern District of Florida. So for them, they're looking at it like, hey, we gotta take this guy down.
Now, when we do look at the charges, I mean, what are the most serious things that we're talking about? What are the most serious things that could come out with witnesses in a trial?
So I think the trafficking of the minors is what's going to get them. Is going to hurt him quite a bit. And the thing with the federal system is, like, if the girl is 17, right, and you move her interstate, that's going to be an automatic human trafficking charge. Because the thing is, when it comes to human trafficking, it's kind of hard to prove the case when you're dealing with adults, because a lot of times, you know, the women will say, oh, no, I'm not being abused. I'm just, you know, I'm here as a prostitute. I'm working, doing this, you know, electively. Like, I'm not doing this against my will. But when you have someone that's underage, it's an automatic human trafficking charge because they can't technically consent. So I think the trafficking of the minors is what's probably going to come and bite them in the
ass. Is that 18 in New York? I know each state is different. Is it 18 in New York?
I think the age of consent is 17 in New York, but federally it's 18. So I think that's what they're going to end up going with, because if I'm not mistaken, there was a girl that was 17 at the time that he was moving around. From Michigan or something like that, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, and you know, the reason we kind of lean into this stuff, I think, is there's all these videos, there's all these posts, there's just weirdness from Diddy that maybe when he does it, you kind of just look at it as entertainment or just, you know, weird celebrity stuff. But now you look at it with these charges and you kind of wonder, okay, what the hell else is going on? I mean, you know, the baby oil stuff, I don't know, maybe he's just having a bunch of prostitutes over and lathering them up. I mean, who really knows? But I would ask myself this. I mean, here's Diddy, who's making millions of dollars. He certainly doesn't need money. He certainly doesn't need to put himself in a situation where he's going to get caught up in something. So it's like, why would he even be involved in this stuff if there isn't some other angle?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're right. He's a billionaire. So it's a little weird that he would find himself in a position like this. But I think it's also important to note that, you know, he had some pretty serious drug and alcohol problems for a lot of his career, went to rehab for it, et cetera. You know, there's that video cam footage of him attacking and assaulting Cassie at that hotel. And that was like in a drunken rage. So you know, and this is why drugs and alcohol, you know, ruin so many people's lives, is because a lot of times when you do this stupid shit, you're under the influence. You're like, oh, fuck it. I got money. I can, you know, deal with this, whatever it may be. So I think a combination of him using drugs, alcohol, clouded judgment, and an enormous amount of power within the music industry made him feel like he was invincible and untouchable. And, you know, now he's clearly being touched, so, you know, pause, by the U.S. government, and they're going after him.
Well, there's no doubt this is going to be a huge human interest story, and I think a lot of people are anticipating it's going to go beyond that even, considering his friends and influence in the political world as well. And so I think that this is going to be a major spectacle whenever and however it does go down. You know, there was a story, and I don't know if you heard about this, but there was a story that got out there about a bodyguard that was recording some of these parties that he was having. You know, they say there's no party like a Diddy party, and then they kind of laugh like, oh, what, you know, there's some sort of hidden secret there. Yeah. But apparently there was a bodyguard or somebody recording a lot of this stuff that he might be holding into. Is that the kind of thing where, let's say a bodyguard comes forward, maybe he's a witness working with the prosecutors, and I know that once it gets to the trial, kind of the rules change. But, I mean, is that the kind of stuff that the prosecutors could have right now or be holding on to and be waiting to leverage until they have to start going to deposition or trial and evidence and discovery?
Yeah, no, great question. They definitely have it. You know, the fact that they – now, with the way federal prosecutors work a lot of the times is they're not going to indict the case, especially against someone like this who has the legal means to hire a full-on defense team, unless they're certain that they got more than enough evidence and that they're ready to go to trial pretty much on the day that they indict him. So they absolutely have – witnesses ready to go, you know, evidence. And keep in mind, when this all happened originally, they did search warrants on his house. So they probably were able to get phones, tablets, video cameras, etc., that corroborate a lot of the stuff that the witnesses told them. So they definitely have a lot of his devices and found evidence. And that's how they were able to come back, you know, 6-9 months later and indict him now. So and then on top of that, they have the bodyguards and the people that were close to him that are willing to testify. I'm sure Cassie's probably on the witness list. I'm sure the bodyguards are, and they're all going to be willing to come forward and testify should Diddy try to go to trial, which Diddy's team is going to know who cooperated against him very soon here, because more than likely they're going to be doing the discovery process, you know, right now as we speak. Yeah. They're going to probably handle that thumb drive with all the stuff, and they'll be able to read all the reports and try to kind of be able to deduce who was involved in what and who said what.
Yeah, a lot of information probably in the next week, I'd say, might give us a better picture of how this is going to go or where this is going to go next. All right, let's jump to one more story here. I'm sure you heard about this. The exploding pagers. Did you hear about this one, Myron? Them blowing up the beepers in Syria and in Lebanon?
Yeah, I literally opened up my Twitter feed and I saw a little bit about this. Yeah, somewhat familiar.
So here's just some of the headlines, and if you're just learning about this, I don't have to lean into it so much here. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. Hezbollah hit with exploding pagers in Lebanon and Syria, at least 9 dead, hundreds, some are saying thousands injured. Video, eight, including child, killed, over 2,800 injured as pagers explode in Lebanon. Hezbollah blames Israel. Well, I mean, Israel's taking credit. They're bragging. They're celebrating it. Hezbollah vows to punish Israel after pager explosions across Lebanon. Now, look, there's a bunch of different angles you can take on this.
Sure.
I know you're not shy about your opinion here, but this thing is just like, I mean, you touch this thing, you get a 1,000-volt shock from all the different angles. And so to me, the safest, like, let me just approach this like I'm walking on broken glass. And maybe we can get into the actual, you know, well, what do you think about them blowing people up in grocery stores and malls while they're driving cars? To me, it's like, look, if the Middle East, if Israel and these Arab countries or whoever it is, if they want to fight for the rest of their lives and they want to blow each other up and destroy their cities and never get along, fine. I'm never going to go there. I don't want anything to do with it. I'm an American citizen. I've got a country here with 50 states. We got other U.S. territories. I don't want anything to do with it. Blow yourselves up. Blow your kids up. Indoctrinate your kids to war. Fine. I won't even comment on an opinion. Leave me out of it. I don't want anything to do with it. I want to completely decouple from the Middle East and all different sides of it. But then you get into the issue, okay, they're blowing up pagers. How did they get the explosive devices in the pagers? What if they can blow up cell phones is it okay to just say, well, we need to blow this guy up, so we're going to blow up his cell phone. He's driving a car. Then he causes a mass casualty car accident. You blow him up in a grocery store. A kid in a stroller's right behind it. The kid dies. I mean, so there's a lot of different angles to this.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I'm 100% in agreement that, once again, Israel is over here provoking adversarial countries because they know that we're going to step in and save them and keep them from, you know, dealing with the consequences of their actions. And, you know, I'm America first, and I think we shouldn't even be involved in Middle Eastern affairs. It doesn't really benefit us in any way. It benefits Israel. And, you know, I agree that we need to stay out of these affairs. And it's really kind of starting to get annoying here, where we're seeing Israel constantly provoking Iran, Syria, Lebanon, etc., whether it's killing negotiators in Iran and foreign soil, or killing the number two guy over at Hezbollah a month ago or whatever, hitting him with a missile strike in an apartment complex in Beirut. Like, they're clearly antagonizing these countries, knowing that if there's a response, we're going to be there to back them up and save them. And quite frankly, I think we need to just stay out of Middle Eastern affairs, because what ends up happening is the Middle East hates us because of our support for Israel, and these wars don't benefit us. It benefits Israel. So it's like, dude, we got to just stay out of this stuff and focus on the United States. We have enough problems at home to be dealing with, where we're over here fighting these fucking foreign wars and sending our troops over there to die on foreign soil for causes that don't necessarily benefit us. And this is why I think we need to get Trump in office, because these Democrats can't fucking reel Netanyahu in. They can't, you know? Putin obviously looks at America and doesn't take us seriously. That's why he invaded Ukraine when he did. As soon as Trump leaves office, he goes in 2022 because, you know, the Democrats went ahead and let NATO expand. And then with Israel, they're not reining in Netanyahu and letting him do whatever the fuck that he wants to do. I mean, matter of fact, he came over here to the United States, talked at Congress, and then a couple of days later, they're over here, you know, blowing up people in Iran, blowing people up in Lebanon, etc. Look, you guys want to kill each other, that's fine. But leave us the fuck out of it, because Netanyahu knows that we're going to keep giving them billions of dollars. We're going to keep supporting them, etc. And this is bullshit. So,
And it'd be one thing, too. And I don't even know why what you're saying is controversial, because to me, it's just matter of fact. But it's like, look, I'm sick of having to go into the American media and all the different realms and spectrums of it and seeing people celebrating this. And I'm sitting here like, wait a second, you're an American. Why do you sit here and celebrate Israel's triumphs in war? And it's just like, okay. And then I know Israel obviously owns our Congress with AIPAC. They have a major influence in our media as well. And so it's just like offensive to me as an American when I see people, look, if you want to go dance and celebrate Israel's triumphs in wars, then go to Israel. Go dance on the streets. Go to raves in Israel. And go do it over there. That's fine. But they do it here, and it's my lineage, and it's my blood, and it's my treasure that's backing it up. That's what makes me sick, Myron. All right, we're out of time for today. Tell people where they can follow your show and your coverage.
Yeah, man. Fresh Fit Podcast will be live tonight at around 8 p.m. or so, 7 or 8 p.m. doing Eastern Standard Time, doing a subathon. Fresh Fit on YouTube and on Rumble, and then on X, Unplugged FedEx. And Owen, thank you so much for having me. But yeah, man, we need to take back our country, and we need to stop fighting these foreign wars for the benefit of a foreign nation that doesn't give a fuck about us. We need Trump in so that he can rein in Zelensky and Netanyahu and let them know, like, look, bro, you guys got to fucking chill out. No more wars.
All right, that's Myron Gaines. I think he's officially ran out of our censor button here. He's ran out of our dump button, but don't worry. We'll try to rein him in the next time he's on with us. Myron Gaines, thank you so much. Wow, great show today. Great guests. Great job to the crew. We'll take a 21-hour break. We'll do it all again. Remember, shop at InfoWarsStore.com. If you like this show, if you like InfoWars live shows, if you like all of our guests, InfoWarsStore.com. We thank you for your support.
Nitric Boost. Turmeric 95. High-quality CBD gummies. It's all available at InfoWarsStore.com via the InfoWars MD line. Now, this is a private label of one of the top supplement makers in the country of high-end quality at reasonable prices. They let us private label their products. That's why you've already heard of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula. Well, we got the 95% curcuminoid from them. This is just their brand of that. And so it is available under Turmeric 95. That's the name. So we're sold out of Body's, but we have Turmeric 95 that is, again, the same concentrated turmeric. Same thing with Nitric Boost. Nitric Boost came from this company. They even let us use their name. It's now our best seller. We sold out of our version. Their version has a white bottle. It's the exact same thing. You get it at InfoWarsStore.com. So check out InfoWarsMD at InfoWarsStore.com.
The InfoWars system is very simple. We tell you the truth about what's going on in the world, and we ask that you support us in exchange. If we don't tell you the truth, you probably won't support us. That's our only incentive. All we have is you, the InfoWars audience. And just like our information has to be good, or else we can't expect your support, well, our products have to be good, or we can't expect you to be returning customers. And everybody knows some of the bombshell, incredible, iconic supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. But what some InfoWars audience members don't know about is the InfoWars MD line of supplements. This is our premium line of supplements, and there's something for everybody here. This is the newest line of supplements from InfoWars, designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulations cater to your diverse needs. Only at InfoWarsStore.com.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.